Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Linda Amerson from Texas, the owner of LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am giving a shout out to Carrie.
This is the Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hyde and his new team this morning.
Yay! All right. So in the morning, what do you do each day?
I listen to the Hair Radio Show, baby.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hyde.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hyde.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Body parts bought from the store.
For real.
Everybody got a cash at. His baby mama trying to find out where the cash at. He spent the rent money on the stripper. His boys pumped him up and told him, stripper. Them same homeboys trying to get his girl. Then he found that she like girl. It's a cold game trying to fit in. Mama can't control her competition kicks in.
Dang.
Then she tried to be a rapper.
Dang.
Thought she had game, but the game got her. They ain't believe that me greasy. This new generation think it's easy. The truth is game protocol. Respect those that came before you. Downfall.
You don't get or you get better. You get better. You don't get or you get better. You get better with time.
That's what it is.
You don't get or you get better. You get better. You don't get or you get better.
You
get better with time.
Giving up the yak. Hate the average rapper. Can't hold the real one back.
Nah.
Big boots banging. Granny gang
slanging.
Get your money, boo. You too sharp for gang banging. See, I'm an heiress. The queen can't compare. Gets better with time. I've been with the business.
For real.
Already listed. Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Check my IMDb. Check my social media. Come on.
Man.
Numbers don't make me. What if she fake? They all buy streams.
That's what.
All y'all sound the same.
For real though.
Thirsty for fame.
You don't get or you get better.
Get better.
You get better.
For real.
You don't get or you get better.
Come on.
You get better with time.
Yeah.
You don't get or you get better.
Yeah.
You get better.
Get better.
You don't get or you get better.
Yeah.
It gets better with time.
Yo, you don't get old, you get better.
Yeah.
Original game got this, I'm still weather. Be getting down like them goons that get cheddar.
Shut
baby
up.
Lie, come to the room, but I ain't her.
I ain't her.
Baby lie. I be like, nah boo, that's where it stops. No pen drop off top. Only thing drop is the album. Go cop. Yeah.
You get better. You get better.
Get better.
Hey, you get better.
You get better.
You get better.
Yeah.
settle with time. Oh, yeah. Better. It gets better.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, entrepreneurs. It's Carrie Hines. Be armed with your very own copy of my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, and learn all the ways to break up your own hair industry success. It's available at Amazon.com.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. Now, he's a part of this pretty much the biggest story in America. It is my honor to bring to the Hair Radio Morning Show the one and only, we're going to say, Dr. Obeng, Dr. Michael Obeng. Thank you so much, and welcome to the broadcast. I was getting ready to work in Miracle Doctor. That was my day there. So good morning to you, and we're just so honored to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Carrie. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the show this morning.
My
experience with the audience.
Wonderful. Well, I have to jump right on in. And we're talking about the amazing work that you have done with Miss Tessica Brown. Now, it has been reported everywhere and across the internet. We're talking about huge in terms of the notoriety that's been, you know, reached about the story. In terms of Tessica, somehow with the Gorilla Glue that she placed in her hair, and everybody knows the story. Well, what we don't know, and what you might be able to tell us, is like what prompted her beyond what we've seen in the reported, gossip and this and that. What can you tell us that might shed some light on how this, because you would have had to kind of, I imagine, delve into that a little bit so you know how best to treat it. So what can you share with us today, Dr. Obeng?
Thank you very much, Carrie.
You're welcome.
Kristen. What happened with Tessica was very unfortunate. You know, it's one of those honest mistakes, you know, that somebody ran out of something they thought they can use an alternative on a temporary basis. And it will turn into a month ordeal and a worldwide fanfare. And, of course, you know, these accidents happen all the time. And it's not just with hair or hairspray. You know, it happens all the time when people are, you know, washing their mouth with the wrong mouthwash and so on and so forth. And I think the world should give Tessica a break. You know, women go through a lot with their hair, especially black women. And, to get a bottle of a Gorilla spray, glue spray to spray to her head, thinking that she can wash it off, you know, in a few hours, that has turned into a national story, a worldwide fanfare. It's something else. It's a cautionary tale for all of us, and that's what I can say to that.
Well, I have to kind of add to that. I looked at everything when I started researching this, and I kind of looked at both the product that I believe she typically used and ran out of versus the product that she used. And honestly, there was, in my opinion, this is Kerry Hines, there was like a similar kind of description from me, from my words. So to me, you know, I can understand how somebody might do something like that, especially in a sense of, you know, when you're desperate and want your hair to look a certain way. You know, these are the, you know, how a lot of folks have been kind of pushed to that limit in terms of that. That's the bigger, broader story now seems to be hitting out there. But I want to kind of take a moment to kind of turn to your the questions that folks have asked me to ask you about the process and so forth. So can you walk us through what – because you created this concoction, if you – I hate the word concoction, but you created you know, you did some research and came up with, you know, what to use to kind of alleviate the situation, to remedy this, you know, this situation. So how can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, so when the story first broke and we got wind of it and my office asked me if I can help it, and of course I said I can, you know, of course I didn't know it was a national sensation or something that had taken the whole world by storm. You know, I just said in confidence and in gratuity that, you know, pretty much anything I can think of, I can do it through the Lord who strengthens me. But when I found out it was Gorilla Glue and it became a reality, after I said, yes, I can do it, and within 2-3 hours later, you know, I was getting confirmatory message that, okay, she's going to be here 2 days later, which was on Wednesday, last Wednesday.
Wow.
You know, I said, sure. So, of course, you know, I'm not in the field that uses Gorilla Glue all the time. I've heard of Gorilla Glue or Crazy Glue, but I don't know what was in it. Once I heard about it, I knew I was going to do it. You know, with any good, any good visionary or great visionary, you want to go look into and do research into what you're about to do. And if you are not used to it, you know, you have to delve into the problem much deeper. So of course, I had to Google Gorilla Glue, and I had to Google the main ingredient, which happens to be polyurethane, which is a very, very, very strong adhesive that, you know, goes back, that was brought into America, I think, in the early 1990s from the Southeast Asia, where it was being used for furniture manufacture. Then I then decided, okay, what can then dissolve polyurethane? You know, what are some of the solvents available? And having a chemistry background, you know, helped. So I was able to find out the different things that can break it down. But now, we are not talking about just breaking something down on the surface, but this is on a human skin or human scalp. And of course, being a doctor also tells me that if you put caustic solutions or caustic substances on the body, on the scalp, it can potentially burn it. So now we have to find a fine balance between something that was gentle to the skin or the scalp and something that was effective enough to dissolve this powerful glue. And after the research that I did in the last 2 days, on Monday night, Tuesday night, and also making a call to Gorilla Glue and my old chemistry professor just to pick his idea, his brain.
Wow.
And made me come up with something. Of course, Gorilla Glue never reached back to me. They texted me that they tried to reach me. But by the time they texted me, I think Wednesday morning, I had already figured it out. And I have done experiments on the mannequin, on a skull that I have, one of those surgical skulls that I used to use when I used to teach residents how to put plates and screws in people's faces, and that's in front, you know, that sits in my office. So, you know, we're fortunate enough to get hair donated by the Southern Temple here in Beverly Hills. Southern Temple. They gave me human hair. Veronica gave me human hair. We put the hair onto the skull. And then, you know, went to the Burger Group. So my staff, Oscar Garcia, my assistant, went to Home Depot to buy me Gorilla Glue and buy me all the things that I needed, you know.
Wow.
And we were able to spray, and I still have it here in my office, and it's stuck to this car. You know, I spray it around holding the hair. So what we first did was to glue the human hair donated by Southern Temple to this car, and then we glue hair extensions on top of the human hair. And then we let it sit for about 6 hours, and then the solution that I've tried on myself initially burned my, you know, it burned. We do what's called test spots, so it burned a little burn, which is fine. If you use a little Q-tip and it burns, that means it's going to burn the scalp. So after we find the right solution that was hard, was gentle to my skin, I knew it was going to be gentle to scalp, and we used it on the mannequin or on this call, the demo I had created, and the hair started to unravel. So, but you know, back then and then, I knew that we had a product that can dissolve human, you know, that can dissolve Gorilla Glue. And when Tessica arrived on Wednesday morning, I was very confident, without a doubt, that it was going to be successful. And by the grace of God, everything went well, and you know, she's back in Louisiana doing well.
Absolutely, and we are so proud to hear of that. We really are. One of the questions that came in from one of my followers and fans of the show, they wanted to know if the treatment that you provided, like, you know, did it have any effect on her, the hair follicles, you know, on her hair follicles? Because, you know, it's so, you know, you have to be so careful, like you said, it's, you know, in terms of preventing like long-term damage or anything like that. Is there anything that you could tell us about, you know, because she seems to be really happy. I think I caught some videos where she was running her fingers through her hair and all of that. So did the glue go all the way down inside the follicles? Anything that you could tell us on that part?
So you know, initially, of course, things can penetrate to hair follicles whenever you put stuff on your scalp or your skin. So without, I can tell you that the glue initially when I got into the follicles, of course, it was temporary burn because of the fact that it's caustic in nature. It was temporary burn. I mean, it will burn a little bit, but it might have some temporary effect on the hair follicles. But I think all in all, she's going to recover. And then the solution that we used was very gentle. Gentle enough that it's not going to hurt her follicles. It hasn't hurt my hair follicles, so hopefully you shouldn't hurt her hair follicles. Yeah,
well, now, what about... Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to ask you, what about subsequent follow-ups? Is this going to be something that you're going to have to work with her ongoing, or is she just going to be able to just resume, you know, her life as it was before this happened?
Yeah, she should be back to normal life, you know, but I told her to be very gentle with her hair and her scalp, you know, just to, in simplicity terms, just to treat her like a newborn baby. You know, you don't want to put harsh chemicals. Everything that she uses should be very gentle in nature. And I recommend using baby shampoo, baby conditioner, just things that has nothing that is harmful to, or that can also cause that can also compromise an already compromised, scalp.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Obeng, I do want to take a moment because I understand that there is a charitable organization that you are associated with or helped establish that I just love, you know, what I read about this and helping the folks over in Ghana. And we have so many listeners who tune in from Ghana to the show. They're big fans. So... Yeah, so I'm not, and I know them, a lot of them by name, so that's not just me saying anything. So I'm so proud.
Thank you for getting my Ghanaian people involved, you know, and shout out to them, you know. It took a village to get me to America, and at the tender age of 20, when I left home to come to college here, and of course, you know, 28 years, almost 30 years later, the Lord has blessed me so much that, you know, we decided, you know, growing up in Ghana, I saw a lot of diseases and illnesses, you know, and deformities that were attributed to witchcraft, you know, people at the time. And, and some of the belief is still there, you know, in the remote areas, you know, of people still think that children with deformities are cursed. And, you know, the little gods, you know, witches, you know, they are cursed and their families are cursed. That's why they come out like that. They don't understand that we have the same issues here in the Western world, in America, that kids are born with cleft lip, cleft palate, and these are normal kids. It's just that, you know, during the developmental stage, developmental process, things did not go according to plan. You know, things, there were like little mishaps, and that's why these kids have deformities. And these kids can be treated, and they can have normal life, you know. The field of plastic surgery became known to me at a tender age, I believe, around 13 to 15, when I witnessed firsthand the works of Operation Smile, when they came to Ghana and did surgery on a neighbor. The beautiful young lady I grew up with, her brother, her face had been burned with sulfuric acid, which was very commonplace growing up in Ghana. You can go buy acid and they use it for your cars, you know, to add it to the battery. And this young, this man put acid on the young lady's face because she didn't want to be in a relationship with him. And her face was burned and she became a recluse. She never really left her home. And, you know, I saw the firsthand what Operation Smile did. And, of course, you know, I didn't see Operation Smile during the surgery, but I asked my friend, wow, what happened to your sisters? Oh, there's a group of doctors from America came to Ghana, came and did this surgery on her. And, you know, I saw the restoration of hope, you know, that this young lady has. So from that day, I wanted to be a plastic surgeon. So fast forward, in 1998, 99, one of my mentors, Dr. Miller, John Miller, when surgery, I was in training at the time. I think I was a third year medical student. Dr. Miller was doing surgery. He's a plastic surgeon, a hand surgeon. And he looked at me and said, Michael, you are from Ghana, right? I said, yeah. I said, why don't we go to Ghana and do free surgery? Now, he's the one who put the seed in my head in 1998-99. And, of course, I knew that, you know, the Lord has blessed me. And, you know, when the Lord, you know, to whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
So, 2006, when I was in Boston at Harvard doing my fellowship, that's when the name Restore came to my head. You know, Restore is the name of my nonprofit organization. And it stands for Restoring Emotional Stability through Outstanding Reconstructive Efforts. And since 2007, we've been to Africa, we've been to Central America, Southeast Asia, and we have done over 1,500 surgeries, all free of charge.
That is amazing.
And last year when COVID hit, we decided to start offering help in our own backyard. Of course, you know, we still help people. You know, I'm a big breast cancer advocate and breast reconstruction advocate. I happen to be the first one in Los Angeles area to host the first Breast Reconstruction Awareness Day that was launched by the American Society of Plastic Surgeons in 2012. Hosted an event to educate women about their rights to breast reconstruction. So charity has always been a forefront of mine, and I've always joked around that if I was a trust fund baby, I'll be going to developing countries doing free surgery, or even here in America, offering help to people who cannot navigate through the complex process of our healthcare.
That's amazing.
Why Restore is so important and so dear to my heart.
Wow. Well, we are just blown away. And for folks who are just joining us, we're talking today on the Hair Radio Morning Show with the one and only Dr. Michael Obeng from out in Beverly Hills. Now, we understand that you work with the director of Miko Plastic Surgery out in Beverly Hills. How is all of that and your work there? Does that play a part in you taking on some of these extra efforts and helping, you know, folks who are in such need with plastic surgery?
So Miko Plastic Surgery is my practice here in Beverly Hills. We've been here for 10 years.
Wow.
And it has been the engine behind my charity. You know, the money that we make from here is opposed to charity. This charity has been supported, you know, largely in part by the efforts of, you know, our practice here, the staff and friends, about 75% and 25% of donations from other sources, you know, and so it means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that the Lord has blessed me enough to give me a practice that can fund, you know, to help other people in need, free of charge. And you know, for those of you guys listening, you know, we are here. We are here to serve the general public. You know, we offer, you know, the true breadth of plastic surgery, of course, my the entire staff and colleagues. You know, so we do everything here. I like to do more faces and breast and body procedures. And then I have colleagues here who does other things. But, you know, this practice has been the engine behind Restore. And for those of you listening, if you want to help and spread the love and restore more hope and function and put smiles on people's faces and change communities, you guys can go to restoreworldwide.org. Every donation is appreciated, you know, and no amount of money is little, you know. So we thank you guys, you know, for tuning in to listen to me and to share my story with you guys. And you guys can also follow us at Dr. Michael K. Obeng. That's my full name. And also at Restore Worldwide. That's the Restore's social media handle. So thank you very much, Kerry.
It's been my pleasure. I have to say again, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Obeng. This has just been a big thing, and you've helped to clarify a whole lot and shine light on all of this. And we're going to continue to support and follow you out there in California. We're in New York. So we're going to continue, and everybody's listening from all over the world to this today. So thanks again. And let me just give a shout-out to your team. They are amazing. We love them over here at Hair Radio. They've been awesome in helping us coordinate everything. So thanks to you and, of course, your team. Dr. Michael Obeng, we're going to call you the miracle doctor. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. You got it. All right, have a good day. Thanks so much.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossieAllNaturale.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
Plant beast on the boom.
You niggas be tripping.
What up, bro? You rocking with Steak Watch Chip. I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. You can catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses. You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
It's time for my digital diary for today, Thursday, December 16th of 2021. It's our show number 645, show 645 today, and I am so excited. The digital diary really is about me sharing some behind-the-scenes tips, a little bit more about the guests, talking about some of the things that I want you to pay attention to that we may not get a chance to, you know, to really visit all that much during the broadcast. So I'm so happy just to have a chance to really bend your ear for a moment. So listen, want to just remind everybody, we're working on two big specials this week and next week. We've got the Christmas special, of course, that will be a podcast, which means you'll be able to listen anytime you'd like. That'll be available right before the Christmas holiday, so we're excited about that, and just so much more fun on the way with it. We're going to have a lot of guests. They're going to be talking about some great Christmas memories, and we're going to be counting down my favorite Christmas songs. I'd love to hear what yours are, and we'll see if we can get some on the show. And we're going to be in doing a whole bunch of wonderful stuff. It'll be across our 10 podcast platforms, pretty much anywhere you get your podcast. Kerry Hines is there, and or you could just Google Kerry Hines podcast, and that'll retrieve all of our links and platforms and all of that that's out there on Google. And that's separate and apart from the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, back to the Hair Radio Morning Show, what we're going to do is a special New Year's Eve nighttime countdown, just like the old Dick Clark days. And I'm really, really happy that broadcast is going to start at nighttime, 10 o'clock at night, Eastern time. That's 9 o'clock for you guys in the Central Time Zone. And we are going to start the countdown. We got a grand marshal. We're going to be going through all kinds of wonderful New Year's Eve talk and memories and what we're looking forward to in 2022. We've got a special, special guest joining us and all kinds of folks will be dropping by. So we are so excited. You don't want to miss it. So again, that's New Year's Eve night. Tell everybody. Dial this number right here, the same 516 number, to listen. The 516-453-9458 is your ticket. It is, I say, the safest holiday celebration for New Year's Eve anywhere. So definitely join us right here for Carrie Hines' New Year's Eve, New Year's Party Eve countdown. So real happy about that. All right, folks, and now back to the Hair Radio Morning Show for today. Again, it's December 16th of 2021. It's our show number 645. Coming up in the mid-hour, we have an amazing guest. Her name is Sugar T, and we're so excited. You heard her song right here that we kicked off with this morning. We have a little bit more coming up as well. And we're just happy. It's Bob's a Day, we're going to call it right here. So mid-show, of course, Sugar T is, she's a BOBSA member, BOBSA.org member. And then coming up, we have the man who started BOBSA. We're talking about Sam Enon. So he'll be joining us in the third hour, kicking off about 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central. And he'll be on live all the way from from Northern California, but he'll be on from the West Coast and talking to all of you guys. And Sam has been instrumental in leading the charge to make sure we have black-owned beauty supply stores in our areas, and if they need help, he is the man to go to. So, and he helps with so many other things as well. He'll fill in on all that when he's with us. And we just want you to stay with us and enjoy today's broadcast. And we'll talk a little later in the show about what's coming up and our holiday schedule and so much more. So just kind of stay with us. Enjoy today's broadcast. All right, we've got a lot more to go. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bump and bump it, bump it and bump.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Very special broadcast today, and I want to bring to the line my very special guest co-host for the entire episode, the one and only Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart joins us today. Mary, good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning,
Hello.
Terry.
Hello. Yes, and again, we are so excited on this very special day. It's episode number 2, episode 2 on our 10 most fascinating on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I am so excited to continue this journey with you, Mary, my amazing guest co-host for the time. So tell us, what did you think, especially since we, you know, started with this new series, this new radio series, counting down on fascinating
folks?
You
are just a genius. Yes, you're just a genius. I'm very, very excited. And this is so I just encourage the listeners to tune in to each of the segments because you are going to be surprised at some of the guests that Gary's has had over time.
Yes, thank you so much, Mary, for that. It is appreciated. And I'm super hyped about it. And we're going to talk about not just our amazing guests that we've had on that makes them so fascinating and what makes them so fascinating. And a lot of this, you're going to figure out what makes them tick. But we'll also have a chance to chat with you a little bit throughout the episode about the amazing work you're doing at the three H's, I call it, Hair, Head, Heart. And we're excited to talk with you more about your endeavors as well. But first, let us take a look at number 10 and number 9 that we covered in episode number 1. So we had this amazing gentleman back at number 10. His name is Michael Hopkins, and he's the veteran. It's the Vet Talk radio show, let me get that out. And he's the host and one of the producers on the program. We're super excited to have him land at number 10 on our countdown. Number 9, we found a wonderful young lady who had, she kind of struck a chord with me about her desire to connect with the legacy of Madam C.J. Walker. Her name is Tara, and Tara joined me on the Hair Radio Morning Show briefly as a wonderful contributor, so that was really exciting. And I think her part, what she added to the program, has been unmatchable. So she landed at number 9 on our countdown. And that means, Mary, today is number 8. Yes.
I got to think Tara was contagious as far as her enthusiasm, her homage to Madam and just the experience, and it was just beautiful. So if you did not need to listen.
Yes, absolutely. And so I'm super, super hyped about it. So we're going to go ahead. Now, number eight begins this episode, our second episode today. You're not going to guess who this person is. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you and put it on out there. She has kind of got on our radar earlier this year, although I've known who she was for many, many years. I've seen her and all of her work play out on TV networks like Court TV and things of that nature. And she's been a special contributor on many folks' programs. But I was delighted when the one and only, one I consider one of the top attorneys out there, Lisa Bloom from television, joined us right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show broadcast. And I just had to, she's been with us a few times, and I thought she just incredibly fascinating when the people that she represents, and she's so passionate about these folks and what it has meant and what her work has been like. So I had to get her as part of our amazing, our 10 most fascinating guests. And she lands at number 8 on this list, the one and only TV's Lisa Bloom. We'll take a listen, Mary, and we're gonna chat about this. This is Lisa's most recent appearance on the broadcast, and I think you're going to find it fascinating. Again, Lisa Bloom.
Exciting.
At number 8, super, super, super excited. All right, here we go. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest joining us right now, you guys know her. She's been with us before. Very recognized name out there in the world of law. It is my honor to bring back to the Hair Radio Morning Show the one and only Lisa Bloom. Good morning, and welcome back
to
the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Lisa, I want to jump right on in. There's so much going on. There's so many trials and cases and so many things happening out there. We had to go right straight to the very best. And so you were certainly on that short list. Lisa, tell us now, you are doing something very important with your work at the Bloom Firm. So you guys are, what is this where you're kind of like monitoring this big case here in New York with it's all about the Jeffrey Epstein case. It's tied into that. Her name is Ghislaine Maxwell. What can you tell us about all of this and make sense to us?
So for several years now, I have fought for justice on behalf of 8 victims of Jeffrey Epstein, and he's the very wealthy financier who is accused of sexually abusing underage girls and young women. I represented 8. We fought for them in litigation here in New York for several years, and we ultimately won victory, significant settlement awards for all 8, I'm very proud to say.
Wow.
One of those victims
also
has allegations against Ghislaine Maxwell, his longtime friend, confidant, girlfriend, assistant. She wore a lot of different hats. There's now a criminal trial underway here in New York for Ghislaine Maxwell. Jeffrey Epstein took his own life in 2019, so we can't get justice against him, but this trial is now against Ghislaine Maxwell. And so I'm here on behalf of my clients to monitor the trial, to keep an eye on it, and to be a voice for the victims, because I think that's where the focus should be, on the tremendous pain that these two people caused to so many people. The lifelong psychological injuries that they suffer, and that's what I'm here essentially doing. And I sat through yesterday the opening statements so I could hear both sides, and now I've heard the first couple of witnesses and seen the first cross-examination of one of the victims, and it's very powerful stuff. But so far I'm optimistic that justice will be done.
Awesome, because that's what we wanted to find out. Now, Lisa, I just want to say that, folks, so the whole thing is that she's being painted, Ghislaine Maxwell, as perhaps a scapegoat in all this. There are folks out there who are going to say, well, maybe she didn't do this, or maybe she didn't. I'm sure all this is going to come out in these days to come. But what can you say to folks? And I feel, especially those folks that you represent, the person who's really making this accusation against her. So what do you say when you hear this? And you're hearing it, firsthand right there inside the courtroom.
Yes.
What do you say?
Well, this is the primary defense. They began their opening statement by saying, since the days of Eve and the apple, women have been blamed for the bad conduct by men. And that's a true statement, right? But in this case, the prosecution is proving their case against Ghislaine Maxwell, not against Jeffrey Epstein. And so they are constantly having the witnesses talk about what Ghislaine did. She was there. She participated. She lured the victims in. She was at his side. She was present, not for all of the sexual abuse, but for a lot of it. And I think that would be sufficient, that she knew exactly what was going on, and she brought girls into this environment where then they were abused. So she's not being scapegoated for what somebody else did. She's being tried for the actions that she took, the choices that she made.
I was about to say, in any knowledge of it or any part in it is too much, in my
That's
opinion.
Right.
You know, so I have to say, we, you know, and the general public, and this is why I really wanted you to be on the show today, Lisa, because it's hard for us, GP, to kind of navigate some of this information. There's so much out there. I hate to even go to social media. There's so yes. much information going back and forth and on all the TV channels and all of that. So I wanted the fans of the show, because I heard different opinions popping up and all of this. I said, no, we've got to get some clarity on this. What should our takeaway be with some of these huge cases? And we'll mm-hmm. definitely talk a little bit more, because I want to get a little bit more on this whole Jeffrey Epstein case and more with the Ghislaine Maxwell trial that's happening right now. But what do you say? How do we even navigate some of this stuff? I mean, it is just poor. And there's another big case starting. Like, my goodness.
Yeah, so there's a lot. And what I want people to understand is that every case is a very specific inquiry into the facts and the law of that case. A lot of the cases that we see are really not a good opportunity to make a political statement. So let's talk about Kyle Rittenhouse, for example.
Yes.
In my opinion, the left, and I'm a very progressive left-wing person,
uh-huh.
the left should never have made the Kyle Rittenhouse case into a political case. This is about a white guy who shot three other white people at a protest. I did not see this as a case that had to do with race. And almost the entire situation was caught on video, on multiple videos. So the only question there was, did he shoot in self-defense? That was the question for the jury. It was not a question about, should he have been there in the first place? Should he have had a gun? Because he legally could have that gun, because we have crazy
That's
gun
right.
laws in this country, in my opinion. Okay? So the only question was whether he should have been there or not, whether he should have had the gun or not. At the moment that he shot each of these three people, was he being threatened? And the video showed that he was. And so he was acquitted on self-defense. Now, you know, in my opinion, we need massive reform of our gun laws. We should never have a 17-year-old walking around in a provocative situation with an AR-15. That is completely crazy. And that is going to lead to people getting shot. So we need to reform our gun laws. And frankly, these protests did get, that particular one, it did get out of control, and the police allowed that. That's unfortunate. So I recognize three Black Lives Matter protesters who got shot by police. So there's a lot of wrongdoing to go around. But the Kyle Rittenhouse case, to me, should not have been one that was elevated to a big public discussion, because I didn't think it was worth that. Now, the one that should have gotten more attention, in my opinion, was the Ahmaud Arbery case. That was
and tell us
about
that, yes.
Yeah, that was clearly about racism. It was a horrifying case. You know, I wrote a book about the Trayvon Martin case a few years ago and about the racism in the criminal justice system and how abhorrent it is. And the Ahmaud Arbery case reminded me a lot of the Trayvon Martin case. Here's a guy who's minding his own business, Mr. Arbery, jogging, you know,
jogging,
which he had every right to do, just like Trayvon Martin was walking down the street, minding his own business with
Skittles
in his
right.
pocket.
Exactly.
And in both cases, the white guys who pursued them thought that they were criminals because of their skin color, because they thought that other people who were Black in the past had committed crimes. And so to attribute the wrongs of some Black people to all Black people is the very definition of racism. And that's what
exactly.
happened in the Trayvon Martin case. That's what happened in the Ahmaud Arbery case. And in the Ahmaud Arbery case, we have three white guys who chose to follow him to try to get him to pull over. Of course, he got scared because he's being followed by these random guys in a pickup truck. How scary is that? And ultimately, when they accosted him, he fought back. And then they tried to say that's self-defense. No, you can't.
Right.
assault someone, and then when they fight back, you claim self-defense. That's ridiculous. That's what they claim.
Exactly.
And thank goodness the jury agreed, and the prosecution did bring racism into the case, which I was pleased to see, because they failed to do that in the Trayvon Martin case. I thought that was a big mistake. They did talk about the racial angle of the case. It was clearly a hate crime, and thank God they were convicted, as they should have been. They should spend the rest of their lives in prison, which I'm sure that they will. So that to me is justice. Of course, it doesn't bring back the victim. My heart breaks for him and his family. You know, I have a dear friend who's African American and who's a runner.
Yes.
And he says to me to this day, he's afraid to go out running in the morning. You know, he's a big Black guy, lives in a white neighborhood, and he's afraid.
Yeah. I can certainly relate here in my section here in Brooklyn, New York, and I totally understand. It's just inside of you. But you know, I'll have to say this, and I totally agree with you 1,000%. This is something that I was already conscious of, not to be running down the street. And this was long before any case, because you have to understand that this is a potentiality right now. You know, it's always been, but it's even heightened right now. Now, I have to say, Lisa.
He goes running at 6 a.m. and he says, you know, it's cold. I want to wear a hoodie. But I'm a big black guy.
Oh, a hoodie.
You know, and I thought, it's my heart breaks. You know, it never, as a white woman, it never enters my mind that, like, I can't wear a hoodie if I'm cold.
That you can't wear a hoodie. That you can't make any sudden movements. And to be really honest with you, Lisa, what's really awful is that you don't even have to even be doing any of those things. You can just to be walking down the street, your mere presence, just as a black person, male in my case, is enough to make folks think of crime. You know, it's almost your color's been criminalized to a degree. And so what happens, unfortunately, this is what you have to kind of deal with on a daily basis, in and out, where folks grabbing their kids, they don't mean any harm. Don't ever think that they are thinking that you're going to attack their kids. It's almost subconscious at this point. You know, so I don't necessarily blame people. I get why they are like that, because this is what is, you know, channeled to us through so many different things. But, Lisa, my big thing is, when I turn back to this case, and there are some big names tied to this Jeffrey Epstein case. And I shouldn't say that, because this is the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, that she's on trial for her, you know, alleged doings or what have you. So, but there's some huge names. Is there any, I mean, is that's kind of like part of the gossip, if you will, about it, or the unproven facts or what have you, where they're saying that maybe she knows something and she's not saying, and maybe she should be saying, and this is, you know, they've got, she's got big names to point out, and what is, you know, I'm like, what can we listen to?
Lisa. Yes. So that came into the trial today. The pilot
Jeffrey
Epstein's plane. Yeah, he named some very prominent people who Epstein's private plane with him. He named Donald Trump. He named Bill Clinton, the violinist Isaac Perlman, the actor Chris Tucker, the actor Kevin Spacey, of all people, who has had his own.
He already has another set of things going on that he's been cleared of, I believe, at this point, but he's been through his own set of things.
Prince Andrew, of course, and the British press is all here because...
And that's a big one there.
Prince Andrew angle. Prince Andrew is currently being sued for sexual abuse by one of Jeffrey Epstein's accusers, who says that Epstein sent her, basically, to Prince Andrew, trafficked her. So those names came in. And they came in this trial not to show there's some kind of vast conspiracy with all these people, and I'm sure that, you know, maybe some of them did not know what Jeffrey Epstein was up to behind closed doors. Maybe all of them didn't know. I don't know what they knew, but we know that they flew on the plane with him. But what I will say is that this was very intimidating to the victims. So the reason why it's being brought in is, you know, imagine being a 14-year-old girl, and this wealthy man who's taken an interest in you is friendly with a former president, friendly with Donald Trump, who ends up being a future president. I guess they didn't know that at
exactly.
the time. But, you know, these very successful, big-name people.
Powerful,
and the victims
powerful
say
names.
That they talked about this all the time. They name-dropped to intimidate the victims and to terrify them into silence. You know, are you like a little no-name 14-year-old girl? Are you going to go up against that kind of people? I mean, there's no way, and that's why they took so long to come forward.
Wow. And I we're grateful that we have folks like the Bloom Firm that's doing the work, that's speaking, helping these women to have a voice. We are going to continue to follow this, and because it's just we didn't quite know what we should have as our takeaway. And my other thing to you, and you mentioned it a little while ago, and I just want to get your take on it. The videos, the video footage, Lisa, why does it seem, and I think we might have touched on this the last time you were on our show, just a teensy bit, but why does it seem like the video footage, it's almost like you can't really trust what you see because
yeah,
the way it's kind of spun, you know, yeah, like showing like incidents and things like that. So nothing necessarily particular, you know, specific
yeah.
because almost, you know, all of these things that, you know, we're watching these different videos and it's almost like each side kind of spins it the way that they, I guess that's what they're supposed to do. But why does it seem like we can't really trust what we see or there's always something more to it? You know, shouldn't that be enough, these videos? Like, when I see them on, I'm like, oh, how, that's so obvious. But there's more
well,
to it.
Let me answer that, and then I'm going to have to go. So,
yes.
Listen,
yes.
Video footage is very important. Juries love it because they feel like video doesn't lie. Human beings might lie or might get things wrong. But there it is
right.
on video, right? And I think that was important, as I said, in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. It was also important in the Ahmaud Arbery case because these guys
yes.
were idiotic
yes.
enough to video some of what they did.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But it's not the whole story because in the criminal law, we look at not just what happened, but the intent. Did somebody intend to do something? And we have to get inside their mind. And there's no video yet that gets inside of somebody's mind. Did they do something accidentally? Did
right.
they shoot in self-defense? Was it an intentional, premeditated act? In a civil case, we look at more than the video because we want to know what the damage is to the victim, how it affected their lives. And so the video shows part of a story, but it doesn't show the whole story. But I agree with you that video, I think that it is important. It's usually the most important piece of evidence when there is video in a case. Juries really like it. They look at it closely. Like the George Floyd case, thank God there was a video. I mean, as horrifying as it was,
absolutely.
Thank God there's that video that showed exactly what happened, and now that killer is behind bars, right? And
absolutely.
He's a police officer, and we saw the video, and it's just so horrifying. And look, millions of people took to the streets in the Black Lives Matter movement. I was one of them. Because we see what's happening, and it's just too much. It's too painful. So I think video is very important.
Lisa Bloom of the Bloom Firm. Your website, again, is thebloomfirm.com. Want to send folks there. And Lisa, can you please come back soon? We're going to get inside and get warmed up and then come
yes.
back soon to us here and keep us abreast
fine,
of what's happening, okay?
Thank
you know how much we appreciate
me.
You. You got
yes,
it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We are back live on the other side of this.
Yes.
You're listening to a very special episode. Yes, my co-host, Mary Reed Johnson. Mary, what did you think?
Hello.
That's,
well, you know,
we just placed Lisa
amazing.
Bloom
you,
at number
you know,
eight.
Eddie Murphy had in one of his skits many years ago a line, and it said, who are you going to believe, me or your lion eyes? And it just resonates.
Yes.
Believe your eyes.
Yes, the thing. I love the conversation. Lisa is always very intriguing to me. She does the work. And, you know, you guys see her with the Bloom Firm, and she's out there doing all the things, talking, representing a lot of these women who wouldn't have anybody to really represent them, so to speak. So we just love that she takes the charge with this, and she makes the rounds. And she's not afraid to get in and talk the dirty talk, you know, the things that make some folks maybe feel uncomfortable. She goes there. And I just enjoy talking to her. She's fascinating to me. And I thought the
Absolutely.
Chat was really interesting. Yes, and how timely is it to cover all of this?
Yes, I'm thankful that, you know, she's putting in the work. And like you say, calling out what is. And that's just really important. And it's nice to know that it is being done. Are there parallels, or is it just me, between R. Kelly and, you know, his recent, not acquittal, but where he was ended up in jail, and the case that they're presenting with Ms. Maxwell? They really just seem very much the same. So if one goes to jail, then the other should definitely go to jail.
Well, I think that the whole Miss Maxwell thing, I think there's a lot to be said. There's a whole lot, like even in the interview with Lisa, where she was talking about the big names that are associated with it, that alone is just remarkable and may, you know, there still may be a whole lot left to come. We don't know yet. But my whole thing with that and why it was number eight on, why Lisa Bloom was number eight on our countdown for the 10 most fascinating guests on our show is that what should our takeaway be on all these things? So that's where that comes from. Hey, you're going to love number seven because it's on a lighter note and it harkens back to a great time. I'm raising my hand in my life, and that was back in the amazing 90s for a moment. So we're going to take a walk back kind of peer back to this period, and maybe even earlier. There were some great songs, some great music, and I was here in the Northeast. I have to say, Mary Reed Johnson, I was out here in the Northeast, New Jersey, I think, at the time. But what amazed me is that there was this whole brand of music, not quite our old R&B, our reliable R&B, I should say, or the old soul sounds so much, but there was a little pieces of that in there, pop and all that other stuff, but it was mainly, we called it high energy at the time, high energy, just a euphemism for kind of fast-paced music, but it was really great. A lot of folks who are of Latino descent gravitated towards it at the time, and it really was led by this amazing power supergroup with three women. Hold it. I think there are three or four. It was Exposé was the name of the group.
Yeah,
and
yes.
Do you remember Exposé? They really were amazing. They had a big, big hit record. Well, they had quite a few big hits. They had several top 10 songs on Billboard charts, on the pop charts. This is not some, esoteric remote little thing. This was huge. So I loved Exposé, and I love that period of music, Mary. Isn't that something? And I think one. Yeah, so we are going to, let me tell you who the number seven guest is. Is the man behind Exposé. His name is Louis Martinet, and he is the person who literally created the group, got all the ladies, and wrote all the songs for
wow.
their first album. Yeah, so Louis Martinet is the gentleman who lands at number seven. I had a chance to chat with Louis. This is what he had to say, and we'll talk on the other side. I think it's a very interesting interview. Take a listen. Mary, take a listen. We're going to chat about this. Louis Martinet. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now my next guest comes to us from the world of music. It is my honor to welcome the one and only Louis Martinet to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning,
Hello.
Louis.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing just fantastic. Now I've got to tell everybody, you are truly an innovative producer, songwriter, and I call a visionary also. You created the popular girl group, Exposé, and so much more. We're going to get into all of that. And they were the first to have four top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 charts, from a debut album, that is. And I just want to say welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Yes. Now, listen, the style of music or the genre is largely known as freestyle music. So I'm going to kind of jump on in and start there. Would you be kind enough to explain to everybody how you describe the phrase freestyle music?
So the best way I can describe it is when disco kind of hit the wall and everybody was hate disco kind of thing, there was still a need for dance music. So I started, playing around with the new electronic equipment that is just coming out at that time in the early 80s, and you know, started writing songs that were, you know, different than the disco, but still danceable, you know. And then I did a bunch of songs, and then I put a girl group together, like you said, and there was actually a first generation of them, which is called Alejandra, Lori, and Joya. So that was the first generation. And then we had some problems. The girls didn't like to travel, and they wanted to kind of do their own thing too. So they actually in California found, the first generation found Jeanette, which is the next generation. So they actually helped me out in finding the next generation. So it wasn't a bad fallout or anything. It was kind of like a mutual thing that, you know, that we were going to move in different directions. And they say, hey, Louis, there's this girl that sounds just like Ali, which sang For Her Return. That's short for Alejandra.
Right.
And her name is Jeanette. So I flew to L.A. and met her, and then we signed her, and then I signed another girl named Ann Curlis, and then another one named Joya. The first generation is, I made a mistake, it's Ali, Alejandra, Lori, and Sandra. That's the first generation. Then the second generation is Jeanette, in this order, Jeanette, Joya, and Ann. And that was, just to be clear, you know, I like to be clear with my, I threw in the wrong name in the first generation.
I was going to jump on in, and because, and that's really important, and I saw that, and I said, because I think one of the individuals, I believe Sandra, I think it is, I think she passed away, and I just wanted to say, yeah, and there was so much that went into all of that. And I saw and read all about your relationship with, you know, working with Clive, you know, from Clive Davis, from Arista and all of that back in those times, and working with this, you know, these amazing women, and just being such a creative force. But I want to go back a little bit, Louis. I want to ask you about the beginning. Because, you know, you always had music inside of you in some capacity or another. Can you tell the folks, now, where are you from, and how did you get into music to begin with?
Well, I was originally born in Cuba, then moved when I was very young to California, and I started playing in the bands. We actually put bands together where I played percussion, and we used to rehearse actually in my mom's and dad's garage, and we used to practice there all the time and then do little parties and stuff for free. You know, we weren't good enough to charge, so we did the parties for free. but we loved it, you know. We just wanted to perform.
Absolutely.
And then I started actually DJing. And then I met some people that had a studio, and I was in another band where I was playing drums at this time. It was a rock band, and then this guy Frank, he had a recording studio, a small studio in a warehouse. And since I'm a DJ, he says, "Oh, you record music?" I goes, "Yeah, I record music. I write and record." So he says, "Great, so come over and do some music." So he thinks I'm going to do dance music, and I'm doing rock music. So he was like, well, that's not what I was expecting. But then I ended up starting to do the music. And back then, believe it or not, it was called hip-hop.
Really?
Latin freestyle. Yeah, the Latin freestyle that you know was called hip-hop. And then rap started taking the name over and calling it hip-hop. So then they changed the hip-hop to freestyle now, Latin freestyle. But in the very beginning, in the early 80s, it was called hip hop. The Latin freestyle was actually called hip hop. But then it kind of. So that was it. Yeah, that was kind of like a unique little thing there that happened.
Absolutely. I was just thinking as you said that, and I remember even some of my research I saw in New York where we had Hot 97 or whatever, and before that was known in the hip hop world in that way. It was like a kind of devoted to freestyle type music. So maybe there's a lot more to that. Very interesting, I really have to say. So that's how you kind of got your foray into into working with the studio and getting into music and all of that. And I saw where you guys, where you had created the, you know, a music label. But what was it that was the beginning little impetus that said, hold it, let's pull together an act. Let's find or create an act. And I know you were working with others, but how did that, was that your idea to kind of pull a group together?
Yeah, I kind of like actually thought of three girls because I always liked the Supremes. And I went, you know, I should do a girl group like the Supremes, three girls, and I'll name them Exposed. At first it was called Exposed. And the labels didn't like Exposed, so we changed it to Exposé. So if you
and
if
they
you
both work. Let me just officially say that. I'm going to tell those folks. They both work. I love both.
Yeah, both names. Both names are good. But if you remember back in late 83, early 84, it was Exposed for a couple of years.
Okay.
You know, and then when Arista signed the group, then we changed it to Exposé. So there was a single that was on my label that was Point and Return. Those are still out there. I know people that still have them. So
the originals. Now you guys went in and re-recorded those songs, correct? With the next version of the group, is that right?
Yeah, we recorded not the music, just the vocals. The music was the same.
Uh-huh. Wow, I love this. Well, listen, there are lots of questions that I have to ask you as a producer, and I kind of want to go back a little bit. Folks, if you're just joining us, let me just break it on down for you. You're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, my very special guest with me today is Louis Martinet. Now, he is a producer. You are a writer, a producer. You're legendary to me in all that you have done with the amazing hits that you've had with Exposé and others. And you've worked with quite a few. And I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about it because, you know, when I think back, I grew up I'm in Brooklyn, New York now, but and our show goes all over the world. But when I remember back in the day, and being growing up in northern New Jersey, so let me just make it clear, because I think that was how I was introduced to freestyle music. And I remember, on the radio, and I remember KTU when it came along, and just nonstop music, the freestyle music was just everywhere. You couldn't escape it. But then when I look back, I said, well, you know, I'm kind of, how was R&B, tinges of R&B, was it? Because it seemed to have been kind of like a divided world as we moved along. And R&B was R&B, and everybody had their little tranches. But to me, when I listen to Exposé's music, I'm blown away with the R&B, the soul that goes through the words and the music and just the feel. And I know that's awful to kind of, you know, you shouldn't pigeonhole or try to put things in different categories because music is music and there are no boundaries. And I just love, I don't know if I look at myself as the targeted demo per se, but I love what you guys, you know, what Exposé represented.
Thank you.
Great job to you. Yes, absolutely. So now, was that, and you say, and I think that's what it is, you say that you were influenced somewhat by the Supremes in terms of girl groups and all of that. So could that have, I hear a lot of wonderful, wonderful, kind of different feels and different genres in those songs that speak to everybody. So that wasn't necessarily purposely done. You were just doing what was inside of you. How did that, you know, how did it feel to reach so many people across so many different, genres or spectrums? Or, you know, how do you look at that? Or do you have that, you know, do you feel the same way? Or
I tried to let the thing is that I'm influenced by a lot of different genres. I love R&B. I love hip-hop. I love rock. I grew up with rock. I played rock originally before I DJed. I played in rock bands in California, and then when I got here to Miami, And so all those influences, you know, I just, they just kind of, they come out when I'm doing music, you know, really without meaning to, you know. So, yeah, like, you know, even the Beatles, you know, and groups like that, you know, I get some influences from without knowing it. I later notice it, but, I don't knowingly do it.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, loving it. Well, now, Lewis, I want to ask you about expose. And I also, back in the day, I didn't know until I was doing a little deep dive research, but that you had also worked with the Cover Girls. And I had, I always thought there was this huge competition thing. It was either you were in the expose group, fan-based group, or you were in the Cover Girls. It was rarely that you were in both. So how did that come about? And I think I was reading somewhere how you felt about it, but share with everybody. Do you recall any of that and working with the Cover Girls of that?
Of course. Yeah, and other girl groups that I worked with that I actually created was another group called Sequel. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
And, so we're kind of like all friends, you know, Andy Panda from New York. He put together the Cover Girls, and he said, hey, you want to do a song for them? I go, sure, you know, and vice versa, you know, we work on with each other, you know, we kind of like, we're all kind of, you know, friends and work together with, you know, like there's other great producers like Arthur Baker and things like that that do great music, and we kind of like, you know, we help each other. We didn't, you know, like
there was no
try to. Exactly. We helped each other. Like if they needed to use a studio, they can come to mine, and vice versa if I go to New York and all that. So yeah, we worked together. You know, we didn't have any animosities. So it was kind of like, you know. The better they did, the better maybe I would do too, you know, so helping, yeah, so.
Well, I have to tell you.
It was good.
I have to say, I started putting on my thinking hat, my little thinking cap here, and I said, I remember interviewing only one other freestyle artist, and, you know, I've interviewed a lot of folks, but I remember, and she was just the most kindest, gracious young lady I had pretty much had ever met, and that was Little Susie back in New Jersey. I remember she kind of came to the radio station and did an interview. I was at an actual station back then, and I just have to say, so your genre, the freestyle genre was represented incredibly well. But then,
yeah, all the artists, yeah, they were all great. They were all very, very nice and helpful. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I said, it was great working with a lot of artists that I worked with.
Well, I can hear that, Lewis. You have that kind of personality, though I could just tell you could work with anybody. You know, I can hear it. You have such a, you know, just down to earth and easy to relate to. And, you know, and I'm sure that was... you know, what was communicated throughout your music and your endeavors and all of that wonderful good stuff. So now I want to turn to, inspiring folks, and I know you guys had a lot of hit records. How did it feel to have those top 10 hits, you know, and this is on Billboard's top charts, if you will. You know, was it considered, it wasn't so much crossover, I don't think, but it crossed over, I think, to a lot of different areas. I think we talked about that. But so how did that feel? And also being inspiring so many other folks out there who, you know, are now kind of, dance music is big, or it's huge. So how do you feel about that, and what's your take on all of that?
Well, the Billboard, the some of my product crossover into the pop. I actually had, like you mentioned, when we first talked, Seasons Changer was number one on the Top 100, number one on the R&B also, and other charts. So it kind of like, you know, different genres that had jumped. And, other songs also did the same thing. And you know, that also led me to work with artists like Jermaine Jackson, Jermaine Stewart,
I saw that. Now, what I saw the one of the songs, I saw the one that you did with Jermaine Jackson that I think you had originally intended for the other artist to record. And then, and which is a great song, by the way. I listened to it even this morning. I'm like, wow, this is an awesome song. Many, to me, your songs, these are not just, you know, just dancey dance songs and just put them away and forget about them. They actually stand up and, you know, in time. Like, I listened, I said, wow, this is great. I mean, quite frankly. And I said, you know, to me, these songs can be re-recorded or re-released and all that wonderful good stuff. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel that they've, like, stood the test of time?
Yeah, I think so. I listen to them all the time. Like like you said, I listen to Feel the Need, the one that I did for Jermaine Jackson.
Sure.
Yeah, I love that song. And
I remember that time frame because he had put out Don't Take It Personal and all of that. I remember that. And which project did you do for Jermaine Stewart? I love Jermaine Stewart. I'm a big fan of his. You know, we lost him way too soon.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Which project did you work with Jermaine on? Jermaine Stewart. Do you remember that?
Yes. I worked I did a dance remix to We Don't Have to Take Your Clothes Off.
Really? Probably the one I was dancing to.
I did a dance remix to that came out really, really good, I think, you know, and it played in a lot of the clubs dance remix.
I have to give you credit on the remix. I don't know if folks give you enough credit on that. Your remixes are amazing. So, I don't know. I know because you're such an amazing writer and you producer extraordinaire and all of that. But also the remixes that I've heard and that you've done. So this stems from being a great DJ down there in Florida. Where did that come from that you have this ability to take these songs and literally reconstruct them, if you will, and turn out great, tracks like that?
I think probably from being a DJ and also a musician, it helps too because, I would see what works on the floor and then I kind of try to incorporate it into my mixes so that it keeps the floor dancing. Like when you hear Point of Return, people just jump out of their chairs,
exactly.
Which is like, it would give me goosebumps, you know. I would just, I mean, I'm at the club sitting, in the corner, and then the DJ plays Point of Return, and I see people kind of like scream, get up, and go to the dance floor, and it's the best feeling in the world.
Yes, and that's when you really knew you had something. That song, wow. And I loved all of, I mean, Let Me Be the One, just, you know, Seasons Change, all of those amazing songs, I have to say.
Thank you, thank you.
Yes, you're pleased. These are, it's not just me, it's, big, big hit records out there. I love the lineup that you had, and by the time I got, Joya, and I think you had mentioned was one of the leads, and Jeanette and Anne. So I just loved that lineup that you had at that time. I just thought, my goodness. So have you stayed in touch with these amazing women?
Yes. Yeah, I talk to Joya all the time. The other girls are more, in a different state and stuff, so I don't talk to them too much. But Joya, we keep in touch all the time. We actually worked on a couple of things together, not too long ago. So I keep in touch with Joya mostly.
Wow. Now, you are still in the music game. You haven't left the music game. Let me just make that clear. So what can you tell us out there? What might we be able to look forward to or, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I'm working on several projects. I'm working on a song for the COVID relief. We're calling it for now Sun After the Rain, for now. And what I'm doing is kind of like trying to put together like a We Are the World kind of thing with a bunch of different artists. I got Larry Blackman from Cameo. Bernard from Surface.
We just had David on our show. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, David, Bernard Jackson from Surface, right. and a few rappers too, Tretch and Lazy Bone, and Lazy Bone, and so everybody's you know giving their time, you know, because they think you know it's good to try to help other people. So everybody's been very, very nice. We're trying to get Gladys Knight on there, which I think we will. Womack sisters.
Yes.
We already got Butch from Tavares.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think they did the song "Heaven Must Be Missing." And I think that was one of Tavares. If I'm not
that's mistaken. The one. Yes, that was Tavares. Yes.
Yeah.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch. A new and better way to connect with your clients. Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at Stimulating Roots. That's Stimulating Roots, RUTZ.com.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who'll be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Ain't real no more.
Body parts
bought from the stove.
For real.
Everybody got a cash app. His baby mama trying to find out where the cash at. He spent the rent money on the stripper. His boys pumped him up and told him, stripper. Them same homeboys trying to get his girl. Then he found out she like girls. It's a cold game trying to fit in. Mama can't control her, competition kicks in.
Dang.
Then she tried to be a rapper. Thought she had game, but the game got her. They ain't believe that me greasy. This new generation think it's easy. There's rules to this game, protocol. Don't respect those that came before you, downfall.
You don't get, or you get better. You get better. You don't get, or you get better. You get better with time.
That's what it is.
You don't get, oh, you get better. You get better. You don't get, oh, you get better.
You get
better. You get better with time.
Ain't giving up the yak. Hate the average rapper, can't hold the real one back.
Nah.
Big boots banging, granny gang slanging. Get your money, boo, you too sharp for gang banging. See, I'm an heiress, the queen can't compare. It gets better with time, I've been with the business.
For real.
Already listed, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Check my IMDb, check my social media. Come on.
Man,
numbers don't make me honestly fake. They all buy streams. That part.
All y'all sound the same.
For real, though.
Thirsty.
You don't get, oh, you get better.
You get better.
You don't get, oh, you get better.
Come on.
You get better with time.
Yeah.
You don't get, oh, you get better.
Yeah.
You get better.
Yeah.
You don't get, oh, you get better.
Yeah.
You get better with time.
Yo, you don't get old, you get better.
Yeah.
Original game got this, I'm still weather. Be getting down like them goons that get cheddar.
Shut
they
up.
Be like, come to the room, but I ain't her.
I ain't her.
They be like, I be like, nah boo, that's where it stops. No panties drop, off top. Only thing drop is the album, go cop.
You get better. You get better.
Get better.
Hey,
you get better.
You get better.
You get better.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us right now. She's done quite a bit, and she has a big, big event to tell you all about coming up this weekend. It is my honor to welcome Sugar T to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning, Sugar T.
Good morning.
Yes, so I am so excited to finally have you here so we can talk about some of the amazing things that you've done. But I know that you're here because you have a big message to get across about this upcoming weekend. So please take a moment and tell us all about it, Sugar T.
Yes, indeed. Hello, and thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your movement, in which I definitely appreciate and love. And definitely this weekend we have a treat, and we want to be able to share with those that are connected to you so that they can have an opportunity to enjoy being a part. I have decided to give my birthday to as a 50 to new 30, celebrating the 50th birthday.
That's big.
As a benefit for families of children with autism, in which is a yearly event that we do, a series of events that we do through the year, and this is one, and I dedicated my birthday to it.
Well, I cannot tell you how much this resonates with me and the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So just that you are doing something to help folks out there reeling from autism and how it affects everybody. So just that you're, like you said, you're giving back, you're remembering where you are and where you came from and helping folks in need. So this is important. But first, I want to say, you didn't say 50 now. Surely it's 30 is the new 30. I mean, my goodness, you know, how does it feel? I mean, this is a milestone birthday, I think they call it out there. So how does it feel?
Right. You know, it's interesting. It feels good. I don't feel, look, or it's a new space by knowing the experience in the years that I've been here. However, I don't feel 50, and which is why I dedicated it as the 50 to new 30 is the new 30, because 50 seems to be considered old in some spaces, and normally it's old in the younger generation spaces, and even
well, I'm about to say certainly not in this space.
Right.
That is no, you got it, yes.
Yeah, you know, so my ultimate goal is even some of our age group are ashamed,
right.
And we're always calling ourselves old. I'm old now. I'm old. And it's like, I don't feel old. I don't look old. I have the experience of an older person. Matter of fact, I don't even think it's 50. I'm thinking it's probably 60, only because I started much earlier than most as a parent, as a grandmother. I was a grandmother at 36. I was a mom at 16. I had two in 1 year at 17. Yeah, and then, you know, six grandkids now, you know, and they're my grandchildren, the older ones are almost teenagers. So I've been, you know, with a responsibility as an older person, but I never lost my young spirit. And so I'm really grateful.
Exactly.
And it's many of us that are like that, you know, as well,
mm-hmm.
like yourself. And
well,
many others, so, but it's not always showcased to the world, and especially the world that I came from, which is hip hop, where they're, you know, committing ageism crimes by basically trying to retire older women in hip hop far before they're ready, and replacing them with the newer generation of females in hip hop and giving them opportunities. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly. And we have to talk about that because that is huge. The first thing I want to do, and then we're going to continue this amazing conversation with you this morning, I want you to give all the details because, you know, we want our fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show to participate in this virtual event. So please give them all the details so that we can get that on clearly out there. And we're going to talk more because I just love this. I think this is awesome. And we're happy to have you this morning. So please,
absolutely.
Take it away. Take it away, Sugar Tea.
Sure. Thank you. Absolutely. You guys will get a chance. First of all, we did it online. I did it online specifically to make sure that I could reach as many people as possible and make it as comfortable as possible, because I know, you know, between COVID and between just people, you know, limited resources, you know, limited time, you know, and things of that nature, you know, I think that it's a blessing. It was also a blessing because we learned that we could enjoy more, just, you know, like we enjoy the football games and we enjoy the boxing matches, but we could do the same thing right from our own space. So the beauty is that I made it a couch benefit, and I made it where you can enjoy it right sitting at home on your couch and enjoy it like
it.
A game or a sports event of some type. And basically, you will witness a variety of people who have come together, creators that came together to give back. And these creators are people such as Chubb Rock, Rappaporte, DJ Spinderella, Lady of Rage, Curtis Blow, Mystic Reggae Man, Candy Man, JL Felony, myself, of course. I'll be doing this very, very unique presentation off of my album, which is a musical to the New Museum Project, which is a women empowerment and family wellness platform that supports different vulnerable populations, and that represents a social element of those to support and to inspire and bring intervention and awareness to those impacted by systemic antics such as racism, ageism, sexism, classism,
all the isms. Yeah, you got the isms. Yes, that ageism, exactly.
One, right?
Wow.
So we're actually hosting it in the museum as a presented and sponsored museum project before we do our big launch of the whole museum. So it's an exhibit in the museum, but it's hosted on Hip Hop TV. So hiphoptv.com is where it actually will be streamed from. However, it is sponsored by Soul Central Magazine, as well as a variety of those who are connected to the movement and many of the artists that actually have pretty much, they pledged to shine and to come together to support the cause because of autism. So it's doing a lot of things. It's giving a platform for the younger artists, and they're not the typical artists. They are actually those who are older and those who are in different spaces that have creativity and want to express that, and which that is the platform that her museum represents. And so we are actually a safe platform for those to develop and present their talents that won't necessarily always get to do it on a traditional stage because of the antics and politics. So we are excited because we get that is what we call our sing-a-thon segment. So it's a sing-a-thon segment, and we do this throughout the year, three times a year, but this in particular is this particular group of artists that are also participating that I mentioned, Curtis Blow, Katie Davis. They're from New York, East Coast, West Coast, North, South.
So you've got a lineup. This is a lineup. Some have been on our show. I know. We know him. We know her. Great stuff. We want fans, you guys out there listening, you have got to support this project. You know I don't say that for everything. Okay? So when I say you've got to support this, you got to support this. Please. And it's this.
Thank you.
It's on the 19th. So we want to make sure you guys, you know, that's this Sunday. So we want to get you there. So please support this.
It's December 19th, and it's 8:30 EST, 5:30 West Coast time, and you can get your tickets, donate, or pledge.
Yes.
Whichever is convenient. You can do all of the above, one or the other.
Yes.
And do it at...
I know you got tickets at, like, yes. Go ahead, please. Tell us exactly where to get the tickets.
At theworkitproject.org/events. Again, theworkitproject.org/events, or you can get tickets as well as donate at hiphoptv.com if you can't remember. Again, simply hiphoptv.com. And again, it's aired December 19th. It's at 5:30 West Coast time and 8:30 East Coast, and in between you can figure out that time frame. But the best part of this, it's not really about celebrating my birthday. I just put it together because every year we kick off a series of fundraising activities for our Amazing Moms program. So we have what we call this All Amazing Moms. That stands for Mothers of Children with Autism. And so we understand the suffering and the different elements that come along with these families and the dynamic of services as well as politics as well as ways that we want to bring awareness, you know, to different types of elements around autistic, you know, autism, ASD, those on the spectrum, those connected to it, those that are apart.
Yeah.
So it gives us a chance to share information as well. And more than ever, it gives us a chance to continue to implement our services throughout the year because we have an innovative service that we've been providing for the past 8 years since I got, like, you know, stuck to the cause because of my own personal experience. And so the Work It Well Project is my organization. I'm the founder and the executive director. And, of course, the outreach format of the outreach division that we bring people through our services or just connect with the opportunities within the innovative things that we do is the Her Museum. So we've adopted this group in our Her Museum vulnerable population, and we also have continued to serve them in the Working Well Project and the Amazing Moms program. So the bottom line is, just so you know how important this is the services starts with an SOS, Save Our Sisters. And so in that service, it is a wraparound service that keeps people from falling through the cracks when they come through. So we have SOS and we have SOB, Save Our Brothers, as well. However, the SOS service, once they get into the Amazing Miles program, they receive wellness support. They receive all different types of ways that we can assist them with everywhere from registering and filling out paperwork to understanding what resources that are available to them to actually sending them and giving them resources to support them at that moment, some in very emergency circumstances. We have innovative servicing outside of the traditional cookie cutter system that's created for them. And, of course, you know, they're a very powerful group that I am just so excited to always expose
wow.
as being a challenge because it is so many people that don't understand what these moms go through. So you will be
exactly.
supporting all of them.
Well, listen, I have to say first that this is amazing. And this is a very, very, very important endeavor that you have. So we are just going to support it. In fact, as you were just explaining, I'm thinking we have got to put some links up at my website at hairadio.com, at hairradio.com, so that we can further promote you and connect you even this up to Sunday and beyond. So that's something that, you know, because you are involved in quite a bit. Sugar Tea, I have to go back just a little bit. I know you don't have a whole bunch of time, you know, today and we're going to have you back. But I had to ask you, where did you, you know, where are you based and how did you get this kind of inspiration to do these things? You have to answer that because it's amazing.
Well, you know, as an innovator, as a, you know, legendary you know, female influencer of 36 years.
Wow.
I've just always, you know, was connected to doing things outside of the basics. You know, we were an independent family coming into the music industry. We made one of the biggest record deals in history at that time with Jive Records, starting off as a record label independently that we kind of...
Jive Records, folks. So we want you to hear that again. Yes, Jive Records. You guys, I have to say, you know, I'm fanning out. It's just remarkable. So I'm going to let you tell it. So go ahead. Go ahead, Sugar Tea. Our guest this morning is Sugar Tea. So let me just go ahead and say that again. You go ahead and take it away.
Yes, 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 indeed. So, as you know, just in case the fans don't know, you guys, your familiarity is Sprinkle Me. Here comes the top notch. Ooh, 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 here I be. Sugar, sugar. And then one of the other ones is Hurricane.
Wow.
Hurricane.
Yes.
You can call me Slurricane. Most people know, you know, from that particular
I love
era.
Those songs. And what about
and
the yes, please. You know my other favorite.
Yes, and then there's many others like Scandalous.
Yes,
we have
you.
Some Scandalous with Roger Zapp. And just, you know, so many from Thick With It Records. That's the family label that we created, you know, in 1984. And so because of all those years and up to date, 21 albums later, my own solo album and record label, and, you know, just understanding that along the way, if we're not sharing and helping others and innovating others through what we do, then what's the use of doing it? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, so that's how I got into the space of, you know, of just being a light to people who are not, because I've been through so many things like many of us have, right? But it's nothing like knowing what that feels like when you're not addressed, when you are in a box, you know, when you are being ignored or when people don't get you or when people want to punish you or when people feel like you deserve something because you're not moving as they feel that you should or, you know, for so many different reasons. So I kind of cater to the ones that are left behind, to be honest with you. I'm like so totally against the grain of just the system. And so because sometimes the system is cut out for other people to fall through the cracks of them if they don't fit
exactly.
into their cookie cut. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And, yeah, so that was the
That's
original.
Why I love you. Yes. No, I'm sorry. You go ahead, because this is amazing to me. And so we just cut you off because you are just phenomenal. I mean, it's just amazing because I love the message that you're giving to folks. You know, society tells folks you're done. They don't even, you said 50. They're ready to pretty much set you out the pasture at 29 or 30 these days. You know, so you're doing something, you know, keeping, you know, just helping folks who are feeling marginalized and without a voice. And
you got
so
it.
I'm loving it.
You said it right on the nose. Absolutely. And what's most beautiful is we don't just serve the Amazing Moms program, but we have a program for women in reentry. We have a program for low-income women and guys. We have programs for those who are, you know, in all different types of populations of transformation, transition. And we serve them, you know, we serve the population from a distance as well as locally, you know, prioritizing local for local, you know, funding and things that we, you know, that we know we have to balance. But at the end of the day, we have something for everybody, you know what I mean, in terms of
absolutely
just helping people keep going, you know. And that's kind of a part of where I think society has lost it is everybody has become so selfish, you know. It's like they don't even think about other people in the midst of their journey of accomplishing. So I'm just not comfortable, you know, with that. And that's how I ended up getting, of course, into the autistic community because I'm a part of it. I actually am a grandmother of an autistic child. So
one
of my grandmothers is autistic, and she's 12. And, and I was on the journey with her mother, who's now 33 or 34. I think she's 34. So the bottom line is by watching that journey and being there to support her from the beginning, I seen that it was a big problem because many, as I continue to do things, many, many mothers came out and was like, I have a daughter, or I have a son, or I have this, or I have that. And
oh,
I started
absolutely.
Really learning that there was many people out here in the circle.
Many.
Hiding in a box. And it's just terrible to see them suffer and no one recognize the great value and the great thing that they're doing that many of us complain about. And it's like, it's difficult for me to hear people complaining about parenting. I'd be like, do you know what type of stuff that I have witnessed with some parents that can't even take their eyes off their kids, that literally are stuck with them 24/7? And, you know, it's just so many different types and so much within this call, this type of lifestyle.
Exactly.
You know, it's just so much. So I just got all engaged in it years ago. And, of course, reentry, you know, I've been a part of a reentry community from many perspectives, you know, many times, many perspectives, definitely in supporting low income. You know, I was younger. I was on welfare at one point, you know, when I was 16, 17, probably up to about 20, 21 until I got, you know, famous and, you know, and then later wealthy, you know. And so, you know, being in a great position, you know, to be able to know what people feel like. Domestic violence victims, we support them. We have programs that get them off their feet, back on their feet, and inspire them with the tools to win and, you know, of course, help keep them from falling through the cracks. And so just the whole Working Well Project, our ultimate mission is to keep people healthy, well, safe, and inspired by meeting them where they are while helping them explore what they can become. So we actually, you know, serve through the whole pandemic. We have a distance learning platform. So when people couldn't see each other, we continue to serve because we have Sprinkle Me Learning Academy, which is an online academy that gives access, you know, to people to use it for many different reasons. And it was very, very helpful to organizations in the area as well as from a distance because nobody knew what to do because they couldn't see each other. So we were already ahead of the curve since 2014. Having this division, and we was able to just really support everybody and keep people resilient, you know what I mean? And, you know, so it's just, you know, we serve businesses as well as, you know, the individual people, and we enjoy it.
Well, you've been doing the work. Folks, if you're just tuning in to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm Carrie Hines, and I have a very special guest with us today. She's really telling us about this amazing, amazing journey and this big, big event that you have coming up this weekend. It is on Sunday, December 19th, and it is what we call, I guess now, virtual or, like you said, from the couch. I kind of like that. So tell everybody, yes, Sugar Tea, tell everybody, we want you guys to get your tickets. You need to be there. You need to participate. Your message is amazing, and it's going to help so many folks, as you were just telling us about those who are, you know, affected by autism. And I think in some way it affects everybody in some kind of way. You know, the folks who are dealing and struggling with it and you know, it's just, I appreciate your message with it.
And we support the mothers. Like, we love the kids, but if the mother's not okay and the parents are not okay, then how are they going to be okay?
Then,
So we're not trying to add to the shaky foundation of foolishness that many times I have seen that, you know, everyone wants to go off. It's like the kids, and we love the kids. But at the end of the day, I don't believe in serving the kids and not the parents as well, because the parents need to, one, be respected, two, acknowledged, and three, if the parents are okay, it makes it easier for the kids to live. So we're a wellness platform, family wellness. That's what we believe in. We empower the woman to empower the man, to empower the man and the woman, to empower the man, the woman, and the children to empower, to be empowered. And as a unit, everyone can build a community that's well for each other. So that's how
tell everybody how to get a hold of you. From this point, tell them how, if you want to share social media, this is the time to do it, and tell them whatever sites you know, share, please.
Okay, you guys can follow me at Sugar Tea, SugarT, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I'm not hard to find. You can Google me and see the consistent work that I've done for the years. It's not a show for me. It's a lifestyle. Definitely come to the website, theworkitproject.org/events, and you can find out about the event. You can also stroll through the site to learn more about the organization as a whole and be a part in any way. And if you have an autistic child or you know someone, feel free to refer them and have them fill out a contact form at theworkitproject.org site. And he'll have it all on his website. So if you miss it, then you can go back to the website later and look at it and get the information, or just inbox me at Sugar Tea Instagram, and I'll get you what you need.
I'm loving it. And through Hair Radio, we'll connect you as well to Sugar Tea, who is just doing it up. So we just so appreciate you here. So continue what you're doing. We just wish you nothing but big, big success. Continued success, we're going to put it that way. And just really good stuff. So Sugar Tea was our amazing guest today. Sugar Tea, do you have any shout-outs that you want to kind of get across now, or any words that you want to leave everybody with today?
I'm just excited. You know, 50 is the new 30. You know, so you out there, don't give up
your
space.
Yes, it is.
Don't give up your space. You know what I mean? Work until you can't work anymore, honey. And
awesome.
In between... Okay, and stay on your ground, you know what I mean? In between times, I hope you guys can participate in the event and then stay connected to my movement so you guys can continue to be inspired, you know, through all the things that we have going on here on out. For you that don't know me, you will definitely be able to.
And we're
going to
have you back. We're going to have you back on this show. This is not the one and done. You're going to be like, Carrie, okay, enough. Okay, because you know, we're big fans, and we just want all of our followers to support all of your efforts. Okay, Sugar Tea, so we really support you here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Want to shout out to Sam of Bobsus for making the most amazing introduction of all time in my book. So with this amazing connection with Sugar Tea. And so we're real happy. And what we try to do now is give big time, you know, Bobsa Radio some recognition, give them, introduce Bobsa Spotlight and all that great stuff. And you fit right on into that. And we are real, real excited. And we just wish you, again, nothing but continued success. So my great thanks for being part of this broadcast today.
Well, thank you. Shout out to Bobsa and shout out to Hair Radio. Keep up the good work.
Aww. My pleasure. Thank you.
All
right. Yes. Oh, yeah, we can't forget the fans. All right, folks. We've got a whole lot more. Thank you again, Sugar Tea, for being with us. All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It is Thursday morning. It's December 16th of 2021. It's about, it's hour show number 645. Let me just get that on out. And it's about 8:03 in the morning, Brooklyn time, Brooklyn, New York, that is. And I'm bringing to the line right now a live guest. His name is Sam Innan. You guys know him already. He represents BOPSA.org. He's the founder and CEO of BOPSA, and we are so proud to call him friend here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Sam, welcome back. Sam Innan, welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You're on live.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everyone.
Yes, thank you, and likewise. Now, Sam, and also a happy belated birthday to you, sir. We're just so happy to recognize. Well, we're going to have to – we got to put that on in there, Sam. Now, listen, we love having you on the show. I'm not sure if you just heard, that was Maggie Anderson talking about quite a bit of the supply stores in our community and so many other things that we're not owning. And that just kind of was a perfect foray to welcome Sam of BOBSA, which is the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association.org, you know, to what we're doing, BOBSA.org. So here you are, Sam. Welcome. Good morning again.
Oh, good morning. I heard that. It's the first time I've heard that. That's interesting. I'd love to connect with her.
Yes, yes. She hits it on the head with the music and the whole, she creates the mood because she paints the picture. So, Sam, tell everybody what BOBSA.org, what BOBSA is all about, the Black Beauty Supply Association.
Well, BOBSA was founded in 2004. Which just seems like a long time ago, with a group of Black beauty supply stores in Oakland, California. We came together, and actually I've never been a beauty supply store owner. I've always been a sales rep, selling products, developing products, et cetera. And I've worked for all of the major Black hair companies as a sales rep, independent sales rep. And so, as the years went on after the major curl movement, which we had dominated the industry at that time as manufacturers, I created my own product brand. And so I just started going around trying to sell products directly to the beauty supply stores in our neighborhood, but, met with a lot of resistance because they're owned by Koreans, and they just didn't want to buy from anybody that looks like me. And the only way you get in is either going and selling it directly to the distributors that service the Korean beauty supply stores. And so we just really got fed up, and so we decided to come together as a group. And we met at Denny's restaurant here in San Leandro, California, which is neighboring Oakland. So we came together, and it was born. I mean, it's just overnight.
Wow.
It's like it happened. And so where we are now, I mean, everybody that came along with me in the beginning, they're not even in the association now. I don't know why. I just stayed in it because I thought it was a really good opportunity to open up more stores, And
wow.
So that's where we are right now. We probably opened up about 1,000 stores over those years.
That's amazing.
And probably maybe 0.1% closed, and I'm averaging about 3 or 4 stores a month now. And it just really exploded, exploded when we had the issue with the virus. It's just a lot of the shopping centers closed down. A lot of the Korean beauty supply stores closed down. And it gave us an opportunity to take back some of those stores. But, BOBSA can't do it by himself. I mean, we just cannot.
Right.
It's just too much. It's too big, So we just do
exactly.
a little bit to try and make a difference. So, we need everybody to participate,
Absolutely.
That cares about our industry. And so
that's
what I'm reaching out. And we're doing some things right now to bring it all together.
Really?
But it takes money. It takes money, and it takes devotion, and it takes a vision.
Yes.
And we have all that, but we have all that but one thing, but the money part, of course.
Right, I was I'm signing on again. Listen, Sam, yes, it takes all what you just said, those three items, and especially the money part, you're right. But probably even what is on par with that is the commitment. And you have been committed to what you're doing. And you, I just wanted to mention that. So we want to bring a lot of recognition to BOBSA. It's a very worthwhile organization, again, BOBSA.org, and we want you guys to support it. Now, Sam, what always caught my eye and how I don't even know how I uncovered Sam from BOBSA. We've been friends. I've known you for a long time, but I don't remember how I got to know you. I don't remember.
I have no idea.
Probably
I met you on one of my flights that I was taking back to the East Coast. Maybe you were the, you know, you were the airline.
Well, you're right. You were probably that cranky, that first class customer who wanted everything, hot towels and all of that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, those were my airline days. No, I'm just kidding. But no, Sam, I don't really remember. All I know is that I've always respected your work. And I've always respected that you were in the promotions field, but mainly, you know, the impact that you've made with the supply side. But you don't only help the supply folks, which is big and wonderful, and, you know, we need to take our hat and tip it to you. But you also help hairstylists. You help product companies. You just pull together so much to be the glue that can help to change and add to these folks' bottom line. And that's something I wanted to get across, because I don't know, folks, if they realize how much you do. You know, it's not just one, you're not a one-trick pony. And folks, you know, so I want to definitely get out some of the websites you're connected with. I want to talk about some of the products, what folks need to be doing on the supply side. And I am really concerned about where the country is. You know, we're right now with the holidays. You know, we're live this morning. Let me just make sure folks know this is December 16th of 2021. And it's our show number 645. And Sam Innan is our guest today from BOPSA. But my big thing is that the big containers are stuck out in the water somewhere. And I'm concerned. I really am concerned quite a bit about it.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about it, probably 60% of all of the hair that's in the beauty supply stores come from China, you know, via way of China. Mm-hmm. And you're right about the supply chain. It's really because now what we're doing is, you know, you can send a DHL, FedEx, but the freight will kill you, you know. So what we do is we, especially the synthetic hair, the braiding hair, which is really becoming a big hair need for hairstyles now. Yeah, it's really just exploded. Even the bundles have kind of dropped off because of the people are using these braiding styles. Even the men now are, doing somewhat using that
style. I'm raising my hand.
I see that. we're now beginning to ship it by ocean, because the braiding hair, there's no profit, there's not a lot of dollars to make in the braiding hair.
Exactly.
You know, but if you go to a beauty supply store, you'll see the store is just wall full of braiding hair, you know.
Yes.
But the braiding hair is very bulky, so we have to start shipping it by ocean.
Mm.
But the key.
So go ahead. What is the key?
The key to all of this is establishing black brands in hair. We do hair products, right? But you can create, these entrepreneurs can create their own black hair brands. But we need distribution warehouses across the country. And that's what I'm working on right now, to set up independent black small distributors, you know, to house this, buy this hair and make them distributors. And buy those products directly from them. Right now, we're buying it from Korean wholesalers, distributors. Mm-hmm. And I have two that I've already set up, one in New York and then one in California.
In my area.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to get the information for us so we can share that online on our radio broadcast this morning.
Yeah, and now, there again, It's expensive for these young people to set up, more expensive than setting up a beauty supply store, because you have to buy all different inventories. But we can start with hair, the bundle hair, the braiding hair, and create our own brand and sell it to the black-owned beauty supply stores. And do like they have done to us, only sell it to the black-owned beauty supply store and promote that brand, because I'm one about branding. Because the consumers, we want to buy the brand names. And we have the platform that we can do it now, because you don't have to spend a lot of money, but you got all of these other platforms, Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that you can use, YouTube. And
I'm going to have to put my name in. I'm going to throw my hat into the ring, Sam. with Hair Radio, because I think you have just hit it on the head. I think it'll be great to explore and look at what we can do to help the community, especially the hair community, with hair. And so, after we wrap up today, I'll be on the phone with Sam out in California to talk with him about how to get this done so we can be of more of a benefit to our fan base. I think that's going to be awesome. I really do. I think it can only help.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's one of the things we do. There's a lot of things we have to, but we have to work together, you know. And all of these organizations are coming up across the country. That's Black This, Black That. We need to kind of get that in the same room, you know. And now we have the tools to do it because we can zoom. You know what I mean? It's get the word out, you know. So if you don't have to get on a plane and go and meet in a.
Not like the old days. That's right.
Not like the old days. You can do it, you know, from your bedroom or from your office at home, you know. So it can
that's
be
right.
done, but it's going to take
Absolutely.
Time, commitment, and the problem that we have at Black people, the first thing we want to do, we start a new venture, and all of a sudden we worried about how much money we're going to make. You got to get that out of your head. It's not about the money. It's not about the money. If you just see what you're trying to do and you believe in your heart, it's not about the money. The money will come, but you know you can't start something like that and say, oh, well, next week how much money I'm going to make. That money has to go back into the project that you're doing.
The business. You really hit it on the head, Sam. I take on a lot of clients out here. Everybody knows I do public relations and marketing, represent folks as well. But the thing that always gets me when I get a new client, I always tell them, you're not going to be famous tomorrow. You know, you have to look at doing the work. Focus on doing the work. All the other wonderful ancillary things that will come from doing the work and finances and all that will be part of that equation, but you've got to do the work. Focus on doing the work. I've always focused on doing the work. Always. In 25 years, that's all I've done is focused on working. And all the beautiful, wonderful things being in the magazines and newspapers and all that kind of stuff came out of that. But I've always focused on the work. And so I love that message that you're providing this morning. So, you know, and Bob, you're doing a lot of things for other folks, Sam. You know, of course, you're getting your message across about hair. But I love that you have so many members belonging to BOPSA.org and that the listeners can actually sign up and follow you and be part of this movement at BOPSA. So we had on a wonderful young lady earlier today named Sugar T. She's also out in the West Coast, and she was on singing your praises at BOPSA this morning. So I just loved it. For you guys who are just joining us, if you happen to miss any part of today's broadcast, you want to look out for the posting when I share the broadcast. The entire three-hour broadcast we'll share after we wrap at 9 o'clock this morning, New York Central. We'll share it because there is some great, you're not going to find this content. It's all original. We had on, I think we led out with the amazing miracle doctor who rescued Tessica Brown's hair. Remember the Gorilla Glue Girl. So we did play his interview first this morning. We wanted to remind everybody that we are going to be putting together a special in February, which is looking at the situation 1 year later. I've already been in touch with Dr. Obing from the actual Gorilla Glue doctor, and he's excited to come back and tell us where we are these days and where Tessica, who's the actual Gorilla Glue Girl, is and with his treatments. So I cannot wait for that. And so if you've missed any part, that's what you might have missed. And then we had Sugar T's song on. I played her song a couple times because I love the music that she represented and, you know, being part of a group and also now out with her own independent albums and music and message and what she's doing. So, and she's a BOPSA member, Sam. We talked about that. She's a BOPSA member like I am and part of your great BOPSA.org, a part of the organization. So what do you say when you've influenced so many people? And I'm raising my hand. So what do you say?
What did I say? We need more. We need more. There's a lot of people. We don't do a lot of advertising. We don't do advertising at all. It's more word of mouth.
I was going to say, do you do any? I don't think you do any.
No, it's word of mouth. And then,
but
if we did advertise, can you imagine? And at this point, we'd rather get word of mouth, you know what I mean? And
that's
the platform. That's because of the word of mouth is more.
That's the best
because they really want to find you. So, and they want to work with you, you know. So that's important. And our membership is not that much. So, but what we do, I mean, when someone comes to us and want to open up a store, they have a project. It takes almost a year to get them up and running. And a lot of times they decide that they come back if they might not complete it, their project. So I might not hear from them a year, and that's how it shouldn't be. She came back, and that was a year ago. And, you know, I heard from her, and all of a sudden she came back, and she called me like she was just talking to me yesterday. And I had to look at my notes to see who she is, but I'm glad to see she's back, though.
And bigger than ever, and I just appreciate that. But you remind me of so many folks. You know, you guys out there, what Sam just said is exactly what happens. I'll talk to folks as well, and I've spoken to them probably 4 or 5 months ago, and they'll call me back and, you know, you remember me? We were talking about something, and I have to literally go through drawers and look to see my notes as well, the same thing, who the person is and what the conversation was about. But then they'll say something, and it'll jog my memory, and I'm like, oh, yeah, and I'm usually excited to talk to the person. I love when they come back. I absolutely love it, and this is big. So listen, folks, again, just if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, listen, it's Thursday, December 16th of 2021. Today marks our 645th broadcast, not of my entire career, but just this edition, this new morning edition of the broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So it's been 645 episodes, and we are, or 644, I should say, up until today. So we are so excited. And we'll be celebrating. There are quite a few program announcements I will be making in just a bit, but we'll be celebrating our 650th broadcast. Should be around the first week in January. So we'll keep you informed of that. We're doing another online celebration and all of that as we march towards our 700th broadcast. And let me just tell everybody, in case you might have forgotten, the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're the longest running broadcast on hair on radio in the world. We were the first to actually launch a daily broadcast on hair. We started out on AM and FM radio. We were the first to have a 24-hour internet broadcast around the clock on hair and beauty back in the early 2000s. We've been written about in American Salon Magazine, the Salon Operator newspaper, the Atlanta Journal, coming out of Atlanta on us, the North Star Ledger. I'm looking at the New York Daily newspaper right now, their article on us, as well as the New York Amsterdam newspaper, and so many other folks. And I just have to say thank you. And we've been in several magazines as well who have supported us. And so just everybody, really. So, Sam, you are a part of that success. That's the whole point of this. You and the folks at BOBSA, you're a part of this. And we couldn't have made it this far without the amazing contributions that you've done to support this effort. So we are just in awe and appreciation. BOBSA.org, folks, and Sam Inan. What can I say? So, Sam, I'm going to have you to, take a moment. I want you to get your coffee, get your tea. We've got a lot more to go this morning. We've got you for the hour. And I have got that we're going to take a little bit of a commercial break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the benefits of your website. So we're not going to tell folks now all the wonderful little things that you've got going on, because you've kind of, you've updated this amazing website. So we're gonna hold everybody over. So after the break, and then we're gonna get all into this. So we want you guys to kind of stay with us. We've got a lot more to get to this morning. Sam Inman is our special guest. I'm Carrie Hines, and we've got a lot more to go. So here we go. Stay with us, folks.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
The history of black hair, our hair story. The history behind all elaborate designs and hairstyles originated in different ethnic groups in Africa. The first known example of dreadlocks date back to ancient Egypt, where dreadlocks appeared on many artifacts. Ancient Egyptians with dreadlocks have also been recovered from archaeological sites. Socially, hair grooming played a significant part in status and identity in African tribes. It was a way to identify someone's social status based on ethnicity, social rank, age, marital status, wealth, fertility, manhood, religion, and death. Twisting, braiding, cotton or wool thread weaving, adding animal fat or mud and clay were all techniques used to create these elaborate looks. Due to styling taking hours and sometimes days, much like today, women use this time of beautifying as a chance to socialize and form meaningful bonds with one another. In 1444, Europeans began to kidnap Africans of all social statuses and trade them on the west coast of Africa. Many wore elaborate hairstyles. Although the Europeans were first entranced with and admired the complexity of style, texture, and adornment of black hair, something had to be done to rid them of their identity to maintain control and dependency. Many slave owners shaved not only the men's hair but women's hair as well. This was considered an unspeakable crime to many tribes. In 1619, the first slaves were brought to Jamestown. After being on a ship for 3 months in unbearable conditions where hygiene, let alone hair care maintenance, couldn't be maintained, many of the enslaved Africans' hair was matted upon arrival. The enslaved Africans were no longer allowed to speak their native languages, do traditional dances, and maintain their hair in the styles that they chose. All of the African culture and grooming traditions began to disappear. Slave owners wanted to cut off the enslaved Africans' connection to their true self. They pushed their standard of beauty, fair skin, straight hair, and thin facial features. African dark skin, kinky hair, and wider facial features were deemed unattractive. Because of this, lighter skin, straight hair slaves commanded higher prices at auction. Due to brainwashing and internalizing color consciousness, many blacks promoted the idea that dark skin and kinky hair were less attractive and worthless. The enslaved Africans were given no way to care for their hair. In the 1800s, without combs and the herbal treatments used in Africa, they were forced to use bacon grease, butter, kerosene, and sheep brushes to maintain their hair. In 1845, metal hot combs are invented by the French and available to the United States. Many people believe Madame C.J. Walker invented the hot comb, which is incorrect. She developed a range of hair care products for blacks and popularized the press and curl style. In 1865, slavery ended, but the emotional and psychological scars lived on and are still evident today. quote-unquote good hair, or hair that is finer, curlier, and closer to that of Europeans, becomes a prerequisite for getting jobs, entering certain schools, churches, and social groups. In the 1920s, Marcus Garvey, a black nationalist, urges followers to embrace their natural hair and reclaim their African aesthetic. He is quoted as saying, "You must remove the kinks from your mind, not your hair." In 1954, George E. Johnson launches a permanent hair straightener for men that can be applied at home. A women's chemical straightener quickly follows. In 1962, actress Cicely Tyson wears cornrows on the TV drama East Side, West Side. This was a big deal because braids weren't considered a finished look for an adult woman. Usually this style was only worn inside the home. Angela Davis became an icon of black power with her large afro. The afro became a symbol for black power and pride. Kinky hair and dark skin is embraced, and the phrase "black is beautiful" is coined. In 1968, Diane Carroll is the first black woman to star in a television network series. She is said to be the black version of the all-American girl with straightened curled hair. In 1971, Melba Tolliver is fired from the ABC affiliate in New York for wearing her hair in an afro. This caused a great deal of controversy. In 1977, the Jerry curl exploded on the black hair scene. It was deemed a curly perm for blacks, and the style lasted through the 1980s. In the 1990s, Essence magazine declares sisters love the weave, but natural styles and locks are starting to become more accepted as well. In the 2000s, relaxers, braids, and natural styles are explored by African Americans. Around 2009, there is a surge in the number of women wearing their hair naturally. Many refer to this as the natural hair movement.
Live. It is Thursday morning, December 16th of 2021. It's our show number 645. We're live this wonderful, wonderful day here in Brooklyn, New York. And we've got folks everywhere tuned in. It's really great and remarkable. My guest in this hour, in our third hour, has been Sam Inan from Northern California. He's live with us on the air today. He's the CEO and founder of Bobza.org, which is the Black-owned Beauty Supply Association. And he's been kind of really giving us a great deal of information. In fact, I just played a special that was the history of black hair. And it was a special that was done for the CNBC TV network. Sam was inside of that. So you guys may have heard Sam's voice even on that. That just played. Sam, you're all over the place. Good morning again, and welcome to the Hair Radio Show.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Now, listen, I know it's early out there in Northern California, but right now I'm going to bring to the line someone I've known and just so appreciated. He you guys have heard him on Wednesdays over the last several months. We're going to be moving him to a Thursday morning very soon. But we are lucky to have him on the line right now. So I have long wanted to make the introduction between Sam Inan of Bobza.org and this amazing, legendary hairstylist out in Southern California. So I'm literally connecting Northern and Southern California all the way here in New York. The one and only Troy Ballard, you guys know him as Smooth Black, of Smooth Black Inc. Troy Ballard, meet Sam Inan from Bobza.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Troy. I'm sure I've met you before.
Oh, yeah, we've been at it a while, you know. I'm 30 years, so it's like.
Yeah, I'm sure. I used to rep World of Curls years back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I
and all the
World
shows. Yeah, I guess you do, right down there where you are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys, is this not amazing when you look at technology? We are literally broadcasting, and you guys are in our virtual studio. We call it the Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Show Studio, which is just, it connects all of us. And folks literally think we are in the same room. So that's what is amazing. And to have to literally be on from New York, here in Brooklyn, as I mentioned, and to be connected with Sam out in Northern California, and Troy Ballard, Smooth Black, in Southern California, I'm just blown away. We've always had one California person on as a guest, but to have two is just awesome. So two great folks out there who are both leading the charge in hair and beauty. So I just wanted to, and Troy, you know, Smooth Black, I've told you many, many, many times that you need to know Sam Inan in Southern California. I'm sorry, Northern California, I've told you. I think it's just been amazing. So I'm glad to have made the introduction. And and on your, am I right? And Sam, on your side, I've told you the same thing. Troy Ballard is a legendary hairstylist who has been just leading the charge on great styling and things that we're not all that known for, I hate to say, but when it comes to cutting and coloring, you know, so he's really been really out there leading the charge in it. So I'm so grateful, and I just want to say thanks and glad to have you both on.
Yeah, glad to meet you. Glad to meet you. I got to come down there, and you have a shop, right?
Yes, I'm in Montana, California.
Oh, you're in Fontana. Okay, great. Yeah, I'd love to get your address. I'd love to shoot you some stuff in the mail, you know, something, because you need to know what we're doing. I don't know if you ever heard of Bobza before, you know. We have a lot of stores down there that we've helped open in the last 5 to 6 years.
Okay. Well, what's the name of the store again?
Plumbing?
Pronounce the name of the
store. Well, but he's Bobza. His organization, when you get a chance,
Bobza.
Troy.
Bobza.org.
Yeah, Black Owned Beauty Supply Association is what it stands for. Yeah. So that's what it means for everybody. Yeah. So check him out. And I'll make sure when we, you know, after we wrap today that you guys, you don't have to worry, I'll make sure that you have each other's information. Would that not be nice? So, listen, I just wanted to quickly put you in this morning, Troy Ballard. And since I do have you on the line, I'm going to remind listeners that we will be back. I believe that we are on in 2 weeks on Thursday because we're going to be out for the holiday coming up. So we'll post everything online, but Troy will be with us in the last half hour on Thursday. So that's his new day. That's his new time. So we're so excited. So, Smooth Black, thank you, and thank you for taking the time to meet Sam Inan this morning.
All right, well, I want to ask him a question, if you don't mind.
Oh, please, go right ahead.
You know, I was listening to the broadcast, and I'm understanding how you're empowering our people, but I just want to know, are you finding it a challenge to get our people motivated to you know, join in seeing your concept, you know, because I always see, you know, as our people, you know, you're absolutely right. We got very few black-owned beauty supplies in our area. I believe we have like three, which is phenomenal for this time. But, you know, for us to go and have what you're trying to put together, I believe is awesome. And I would love to be a part of it one day because, you know, you got merchandise to sell and we got people who need it. But, you know, as far as being black entrepreneurs, gathering our people together, not to say that we're going to be segregated, but we still want to sell to everybody. But especially with the black braiding here that you were speaking on, I think it's a phenomenal idea, and I pray that it just catch on fire because we need businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's always a challenge, you know what I mean? But we have a lot of young people coming in to our organization. In fact, when we were locked down, that's what we were locked down, I mean, we were overwhelmed with people wanting to open up stores because people were looking to do something different. But it is a challenge. It's always a challenge with our folks, you know, because, you know, we're like crabs in a barrel. And so, but we're coming together, the young people. So that's why I like working with young people because their mind is still right and open to suggestions. You know, when you get someone that's a little older and think they know everything, it's kind of difficult. But the young people, they listen, you know, and I get them jump started. That's all they need, you know. Because I work with them for a whole year when they want to open up a store or even create a product. If you want to create a product, I can help you create a product. Because I used to have a brand called Silky Wrap. I don't know if you remember that brand.
Okay.
European Silky Wrap. I had it.
I need to talk to you because I'm trying to, you know, brand and, you know, my beard oil.
Sam,
and some other
you
things.
Guys need
that,
to talk
that,
so
that,
very much that I have
that,
to say I cannot
that,
wait to, until the
I
show
know,
ends.
Full on there. Yeah, that's what we do. That's one of the things. I mean, we have so many different strengths, you know, that we can help with the brand, whatever, you know what I mean? And we have a way of getting in distribution, too, because when we open up a new store, we put your product in the new store. It's easier to get it into a new store rather than an old store because a new store, they, you know, we're just putting products in, you know. And what I'm doing, when I do open up a new store, we get a section for small black manufacturers in that store.
Awesome. Well, sir, I appreciate it. I'm not going to take any more of you guys' time. God
bless
you.
Well, I was going to say, thank you, Troy Ballard, but I have to also just remind you that at the end of the month, we'll have you back. And just everybody, just please, you know, continue to look at what we post on social media because we'll announce Troy's return to the show. And he's just, when I tell you that you guys, you have a lot more in common than you realize, just being, you know, big stalwarts in the hair and beauty industry, both in your, you know, respective areas. So this is just phenomenal to have you both. I've already heard, let me just tell you both this before I let you guys go.
Let me just say one thing to Troy, okay? Troy, you hairstylists are the key to our industry because you guys, men and women, are the ones that come up with these new concepts. You know, you be mixing stuff behind the chair, you know what I mean, and calling it something. And that, I mean, you guys are, and people don't realize that, but that's where all those ideas come from.
Yeah.
And then they go to the lab for mass distribution. But you guys are to come up with these different styles, different techniques. It's the same product, but you're mixing products behind the chair as you're doing the style.
Yes, sir.
And so I appreciate that. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you guys do. But that's one of the things that our industry don't realize. I mean, the average consumer don't realize that you are the creators of these brands and products behind the chair. You're the chemist.
And there you go. Listen, I have to say, this is just remarkable radio. And I've already heard back from folks online listening to the broadcast saying how great you guys sound. So just awesome, you know, awesome this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. That's the thing about the broadcast. You never quite know what way a broadcast is going to go. And just, it's great to start. My secret is to start with great guests. and then just let everything else happen organically. And we've been able to do that this morning. Troy, you might as well just hang in there with us. We only have a few more minutes left in this half hour. And I wanted
All right.
to say also, yeah, you might as well just stay with us because there are some things that I do want to mention to both of you. Coming up on New Year's Eve, now since you guys are out in California, one in Northern California, one in Southern California, you guys will be great to tune in to our New Year's Eve special. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but I'm super excited. It's kind of like Dick Iser, old enough to know who Dick Clark, to remember Dick Clark. So, right, he used to do the New Year's Eve, Rockin' Eve special every New Year's Eve and countdown until midnight. Well, we are doing the same thing. I call it the safest way to party and have fun to count down the new year right with us on the Hair Radio. Well, we're going to call it the Hair Radio Morning Show, but it'll be on at 10 o'clock at night, New York time, 7 o'clock if you're on the West Coast. And so I'm super, super, super hyped about it. Count down the new year with us. So please, please dial the same 516 number. We're going to post it on our social media. We want you to look for this posting. We want you guys to tune in. We're going to have all kinds of great things. Of course, we've got music and fun and all that and gifts. But we also have some surprise guests and folks will be dropping in to remind you of what we do in the Hair and Beauty and so many other things looking forward, you know, in 2022 and resolutions and all that and some of the things we've overcome in 2021. So I want you both to tune in and have your followers. You both have quite a few folks out there who know who you both are. And I'd like to invite them as well to join us. You know, you don't have to not watch TV. My suggestion is to turn on your TV and turn down the sound and turn up Hair Radio on that evening. And we're going to count it down together. I think it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so okay. Troy Ballard, we want you there. You know, yes. And I just think it's going to be an awesome time. And Sam Inan, of course, from bobsa.org, the Black-owned Beauty Supply Association, who's just led the charge out here trying to change how, you know, well, let's just say we're add more folks of color and people, you know, to the supply stores out here in America. So good stuff. All right, we'll take a commercial break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to have more with these two in the hair business. And just stay with us. Okay, we've got a lot more to go.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
We're back live, and it is Thursday, December 16th of 2021. And we're kind of winding the day down here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's been just an amazing morning, and I'm so excited to have you guys join us. It really has been quite remarkable. My guest today, Sam Inan from bobsa.org. You guys have been listening to quite a bit of live radio today. We started really 6 in the morning, New York time. That's 3 o'clock in the morning, you guys' time out in the West Coast. And it's just been a remarkable, remarkable morning. Just all kinds of information, all kinds of connections right here on the broadcast. And then to have a special treat, not just Sam, who's in Northern California, but to have Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black, from Southern California, from out in the Fontana area, to join us live on the air. So all of this has just been extraordinary and just such a great thing. Now, I do want to ask you guys this, because I'll tell you why this is important. We're putting together our big Christmas show. So we've got that show. It's going to be a podcast. So do you guys, does either of you celebrate Christmas or the holiday? Troy Ballard, what about you?
Oh, you know, I have children, so, you know, you got to keep.
Oh, yeah.
Although they look like
true,
that.
Yes. You got
I
little ones, too.
Claus. Yeah, you know, but I am Santa Claus, so we do have a tree, and you know, but I let them know
yeah.
that Jesus is the reason for the season. So,
all right,
yeah.
Yes, I love that. And Sam, what about? I mean, do you go out and do all this, you know, shopping and stuff? We were talking about the big bottleneck with the products getting to the shores. You know, the big containers. We're getting, you know, having big trouble. So it's made it difficult to go out and shop. So I know you've been affected by that. But
well, yeah,
are you a big
well,
Christmas
I,
person?
I work on Christmas, so I'm.
Oh, wow. I guess that answers the question right there.
Yeah, I work on Christmas. You know,
wow.
Because
okay.
I tell people, you know, that don't worship Christmas, you know, India and places
yeah.
like that. So, but no, I celebrate Christmas. In fact, I'll be going down to my daughter's, you know, this Christmas. She lives in Corona, California.
Oh,
and
Corona,
yes.
Yeah, I remember seeing the sign for Corona.
And in California
yeah.
City, my son lives in California City. So I usually, you know, go by and see him, you know, so that's what we're going to do this Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
It's really sad
Whoa.
When you don't have your kids with you anymore. You know, we get older. And now I got grandchildren,
yeah.
great-great-grandchildren. So, you know, that, but that's a blessing, though. That's a blessing. You know, we,
well, listen.
I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy Christmas. But my best holiday
awesome.
Really is Thanksgiving, though, you know.
Oh, okay. So you just had your holiday. So what about the new year, though? You know, that's another thing. We have to really start looking at 2022 and this hair industry, because my big feeling is that the industry is going to go through another change, another cycle as we come out of this pandemic and start to get into the new year. So that's my big thing. So my whole programming schedule has changed as a result of it. And we're going to, I mean, everything has changed. So what about you guys? I'm going to, you know, turn over to you guys. How do you feel about it?
Change is always frightening, but it's good, you know. And it has made I think it speeded everything up with using the technology, you know. A lot of people are very comfortable ordering online. It's crazy. And Amazon is the big, you know, elephant in the room. They're just taking over everything, you know.
The
for
BMI,
distribution.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Now anybody can sell on Amazon, you know. So, but, and that's what really hurts the beauty supply stores too, you know, because I don't know if you realize that the distribution channel that comes from China, the hair, it was controlled by the Koreans. And I know you don't like me to talk about that, but it was controlled by the Koreans.
We love knowing what's going on.
The Chinese don't like the Koreans, and the Koreans don't like the Chinese.
Right.
But the Chinese has invaded the United States now, and Amazon was a big tool for them to be able to do that, because before they couldn't sell directly to the black consumers because the Koreans had it all locked down. But that's
mm-hmm.
changed. That's changed now. You can get hair from anywhere, but you don't know what kind of hair you're getting. You know, but still, they have taken over. The Chinese have invaded the United States in terms of selling this hair directly to the consumer and to the beauty supply stores and to the salons too. You know, and they have the platform to do it now. But I know, Terry, you didn't want me to talk about that.
No, you know what? I used to, when Sam used to come to the show, Smooth Black, Troy Ballard, I used to put a big disclaimer at the beginning of the show. Because Sam used to, I was like afraid we were going to be thrown off the air. Sam would come in and Sam, you would just, you would roast those folks out there from the other community.
Yeah, well,
I mean, this is what I call a diet, Sam. This is Sam light. But no, Sam goes in. He's a very sincere, honest businessman, very kind-hearted, but he's going to tell you the truth. And so that's what we love about Sam. And like I said, you know, Bautza.org has been a great, great supporter of ours. And Smooth Black, you know, I've known you, I'm not going to say exactly how long, literally as teenagers. That's how long I've known you. And
well, you know, the sad thing about this me meeting him, that we haven't met before where we could work together, you know, because I'm always looking for new entrepreneurs, you know, people that join something, you know, and he's got a product, you know, that's great. You know, and we have our new app that's coming out. It should be
let me tell you something. Bautza, Sam has not just, Sam, you have many products. You have lines that you have done and do, you know, on top of everything else. So you are, you know, you're my West Coast counterpart, but you do so much, so many other things. And you both, we'll work it out. So listen, I want to thank you both. I just appreciate you both so very much. I think you guys know that already. It's not a secret. So it just means the world to me to have you both on today. And our listeners, I think they are going to just enjoy this and play it back over and over and over again. So so today, Troy Ballard, I want to thank you. I will say thank you again to you for Smooth Black for joining us, giving us a real good surprise this morning. And finally, connecting with Sam Enon.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right. My pleasure. So I'll be checking in with you a little later on today, okay, Troy Ballard?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks again. All right. All right.
Nice meeting you.
Yes, you guys, awesome. And Sam Enon, I want to say thank you as well, you know, to all that you have done, and to thank you so much for being with us on the show. Now, Sam, I do want to ask you one last question. What's next for Sam? What's next for you and Bautza? What can you share with us this morning before you go?
Well, the distribution warehouses I'm trying to set up, many distribution
warehouses
across the country.
Wow.
And utilizing people that look like us, you know, to maintain these distribution warehouses, and also get the distribution warehouse to get the manufacturers to put their product in the store, in their warehouses, in order to get distribution on their products, you know.
Wow.
And I'm working on a plan to do that, so.
Well, that's enough. So, listen, I just want to say thanks again. And as far as being broadcasting and all of that, tomorrow is Friday, so we're on tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock Eastern time. So you guys know we're here. So I just want to make that clear. And then next week, we're only on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And then we're off. Of course, it's the Christmas holiday, so we'll be off. Listen out for our Christmas special podcast, so we'll keep you guys informed. So certainly follow us on social media. All right, we'll go ahead and get our outro started. And again, Sam from Bautza, you did a great job today. Thank you. Awesome, awesome job.
Thank you.
Yes. I mean, for you California folks, you're wide awake. All right.
Well, I think I might have overslept this morning, but that's okay.
Well, you did great in my book. So, folks out there, I want to thank all of you. Let me get our outro started, and thanks so much for tuning in to the broadcast today. I'm Carrie Hines. Here we go. Here's our outro.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about